about.
Hello, ladies. Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Let's talk about what happens in your body when you consume alcohol. One or two drinks can impair your reasoning and emotions, which means you can decide to do some dumb things like drink more. As more alcohol is consumed in the body, your vision and speech are impaired, as well as your reflexes and balance.
We loaded enough booze on the beer for the entire city of Las Vegas.
And now...
Hey, what's up, Hogs? This is Victor Fuentes. I just wanted to tell a message. Hello. I wanted to tell a message to all the kids out there getting bullied and shit. Look, this bullying's got to stop. Too much intimidation and shit. All right, take it easy, Holmes. It gets better and shit.
Our feature presentation.
It's an important message.
It gets
good
better.
Advice.
It gets better.
Yeah. Good advice from our friend Victor Fuentes. Absolutely.
It's the Kevin O'Bee Show. It's a brand new program on a on a Monday morning.
No, you sound good.
Yeah.
Sound good.
I like it.
You can give us a call on any topic like you do at 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number here at the Kevin O'Bee Show. Get on the air, get a prize. Of course, it's Monday. That always means it's a crapshoot. It could be... it could be whatever's left in the prize closet, or
right.
It could be a new car. There's no way to tell. All right.
How many times are we giving away a new car, though?
You don't know, man.
That's why I'm asking.
We've given away a few cars on this program throughout the years.
But with what it do?
No.
All right, back off then.
No.
It could be something in our prize closet or something in our prize closet.
Okay.
But it's just the same theory as the lottery. The chances are infinitesimal that you're going to win the $180 billion or whatever it is they're giving away. But the possibility exists. You don't know until you pick up the phone and call us toll free. I love this story so much. Psycho Mike, maybe you've even been to this place. It's the Burger Stop on Slauson Avenue in Pico Rivera. Sound familiar?
No, I haven't made it there.
Because it does sound like someplace you and Rudy would hang out. I love this story so much. This is a couple that has been together for a number of years. Mario Hernandez is 22 years old. He and his girlfriend have two children together. They've got a 3-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son together. And he decided one day he was going to head down to the burger joint, the Burger Stop, where she works in Southern California, and he was going to propose to her.
Okay.
By the way. Does any woman want to have her boyfriend show up at work at a burger joint to propose?
No.
I can answer that.
Doesn't seem ideal. So he plans ahead. It sounds very romantic. He shows up with flowers, and he is driving his 1987 Toyota Supra, and he has painted "Will You Marry Me" on the hood of the car for her. Did not bring a ring. He did have one picked out, though, and on layaway at one of the jewelry stores. Well, he pulls up and she sees the car and "Will you marry me?" And she says no.
Nice.
It's been a while since we've done that phone topic, by the way. Proposals gone wrong where somebody says no.
Gone wrong or said no, yeah, both.
Said no, yeah. He becomes enraged, furious, and drives the car over the curb and tries to run her down, nearly pinning her against the restaurant outside wall.
Yeah. Why would she say no to that, Romeo?
She made the right decision.
She had to jump out of the way in order to avoid being hit. The guy takes off. The empty car is found about an hour and a half later with two flat tires out in the unincorporated county area. He's finally found arrested on foot for suspicion of assault with a deadly weapon, still carrying the bouquet with him while he was running.
He was just trying to find another woman.
Which had to be so sad for him running down a dirt road after his car has got two flat tires and is the mother of his children. They're living together with two kids. He proposes. She says no. He tries to kill her. Come on. Yeah, what's up with that?
She made the right call is what's up with that.
Oh, man. So,
she knew what she was getting herself into, and she said, no, thank you.
I don't know what they, I don't know who can help these kids. I don't know if, I mean, it sounds like he goes to jail for something like that, right?
I hope.
And then does she just move away while he's gone?
No, she'll stay there, and she'll correspond with him.
And then probably right.
They'll get married about in 10 years in prison.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Well, I'm just sad because this is one of the stories where I now am fascinated with this couple and want to know how it works out. And I'm afraid there's not going to be any kind of a follow-up. I'm afraid that there's not going to be an article in a year that says, here's what happened to these happy kids.
Right. But, right.
But that's kind of sad.
I
want to know.
I'm saying you already know.
We just told you.
It's going to end badly.
And really? There's no way this guy learns his lesson?
No. What do you think? He's going to go back to school and become a physicist? And then
he doesn't all have sudden... to be a physicist to learn not to try to kill the mother of your children.
Look. But I don't think he'll learn that in jail.
Well, I don't know. But anyway, that's the story to get. If nothing else, that story gets you started making you feel good about your choices in life.
All right.
That's true.
Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
Fire department operator said...
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, Warren Miller, who has to be responsible for more motion pictures than any other filmmaker in history, I would imagine, has a new one out called Wintervention. And it is coming to town December 2nd through 10th. We got tickets for that and a pair of tickets to Ski Dazzle December 2nd through 5th at the Los Angeles Convention Center. This is the guy who makes those unbelievable movies about extreme winter sports.
Yeah, they're always good.
They're incredible to see. I'm not mocking him because he makes so many of them, because he does a great job with them. But that's your prize for being on the air with us. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, we got all sports calls today. Why don't we start with Selena on line 3 to get us going here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Selena.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Good morning.
Did you guys see the beatdown that Margarito endured from Pacquiao?
Did see that, yeah. Yeah, that was sweet.
Actually, he did a lot better than I thought. I thought he was going to go out like within the first 5 rounds.
Yeah, Manny Pacquiao is a tiny little just TNT. He's just a little piece of dynamite. and he'll go off just... on your face, it's boom, 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 whoa. Bang, bang, bang. It's like that.
Yeah, I think Margarito got punished for at least 10 rounds.
Yeah.
I think Margarito went off on Manny's face, too, though, this particular fight. I mean, they both look pretty beat up. But, man, Manny, he has got stamina. That kid does not quit.
And wasn't there talk about, like, he was going to talk shows and not really training as much? I mean, I remember...
Yeah, they were saying that his government ties were keeping him too preoccupied to train fully.
Yeah, there was a little bit of concern, but apparently no reason.
Apparently, he's got quite the... he's that much better than most people.
Yeah, that must
right,
be it.
Right, exactly.
He doesn't really have to train like that.
Yeah.
Now, what is his plan? He's going to run for some sort of political office back home in the Philippines when he's done fighting?
He's already in office.
He is?
He's already in office.
He's already a government official in his country.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing it all.
Yeah, and, I've been following this one a little closely.
Yeah. Haven't you?
It's crazy. And he gives like 75% of his money away to charity.
Well, that's very cool.
He's got people around him saying, hey, Manny, dude, you got to back down a little bit. You need to keep some for yourself. How often does that happen?
Because he's going to find himself out of fighting and broke, right?
Yeah.
All right, good call. Thank you so much. Speaking of sports, how about Leo? He's on line 2 joining us on the Kevin DeMean Show. Leo, thanks for calling. What's going on, dude?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What it do, baby? Hey, all I gotta say is cowboys.
You're not allowed to say cowboys with this season. You're just not.
Yeah, I know. I know the fans salvage this season. I just can't understand how the hell is it that they can play really good football after they fire their coach. It's just like they set this guy up for failure this season. I don't know what he did to these guys. I just can't believe it. They played like they should have been playing at the beginning of the season.
They sure.
It just doesn't make sense.
On paper, they looked like one of the teams that could easily be, you know, in the final 8 easy. But then all of a sudden they started playing or not playing, and then they were doing terrible. They fired the coach. Maybe they just needed a new, some kind of an influx of energy, a different kind of energy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But at the same time, it's just like, wow, it looks like Jason Garrett on the side has his little speedy face. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It was just like it was part of the plan. He finally got what he wanted.
But I'm thinking what Bean is saying is correct, which is that you can't taunt other people with Cowboys yet.
Right. No, you can't.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, all right. Make sure you're clear on that.
Got to back down for just a couple of more weeks at least. Let them win 2 in a row before you really start mocking. I think that's the point. All right, one more real quick. Joe, line 1. Hey, Joe, welcome to the Kevin DeMean Show. What it do?
What it do? What it do? I just want the whole world to know how much I hate the Lakers play-by-play announcer, Joe Myers.
I say let's bring back Chick. I want to get a movement going where we bring back Chick. That's what I'd like to see.
He's a jackass. He thinks he knows it all. And his voice annoys the crap out of me. I have trouble watching the Laker games because I have to listen to his BS
all 3 hours long.
Yeah, he drives me crazy too.
So, what don't you like about
Bill
him,
Myers?
He's too radio-y. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. He's just too
announcer-y.
He's too announcer-y.
Yeah, and he is. He's a blowhard.
He's
like,
a blowhard.
Like Joe said, he acts as if he is the world's authority on basketball and broadcasting. And frankly, he's neither.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just
he nitpicks too much.
He's very condescending to the viewer. Even somehow, you know, while he's just doing play by play, he seems very elitist.
Yeah, he's just annoying. You know, if you have a professional sports team, and you have a great one of those legendary announcers, you have it so good you don't know how good you have
true.
It
until
like
gone.
In this particular case, Chick Hearn passes away, and then we got to go get somebody else, and all of a sudden you go, wow. These people aren't Chick Hearn.
Yeah.
I will say, though, the current radio guy who does it here in Los Angeles, Spiro Ditas, is excellent.
He's good.
He's about as good as you can get, especially for a guy who's like 28 or something.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
They can put him on both. Maybe they should put him on the TV cast as well.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and B Show, shall we? I'm not happy with that.
Neither were they.
Michael Ian Black will be in the studio.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. Very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph, that's a secret break that we're all worried about, because that usually means it's going to be something super embarrassing.
Yeah.
We have TMZ, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have comedian Greg Fitzsimmons in the studio. And we have two announcements. One is for Miss Double December.
Yes.
We're gonna give
that's the
details.
Important one, by the way.
That is the only one. We're going to give you, that's the only one out of two. We're going to give you those just after the top of the hour.
Okay.
So keep listening for that. And then in the, about 2 hours from now, we're going to give you details for the Acoustic Christmas night number one.
This is a big day.
How about that?
Yeah.
Got a lot of announcements today.
It's and Miss Double December announcement too, by the way.
Right.
Got that as well.
And Miss Double December. Did we mention that?
That's the one with the boobs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's coming up in about 20 minutes.
Yes. Miss Double December. Details on. Did we mention that?
I thought
yes.
so.
Yeah. All right.
The only thing that could make an early Monday better is if Ralph Grammer were here with the Showbiz Beat.
Woo!
Any way you can make that happen for
Woo!
Me?
Happens to be right here.
Woo!
Here
check
he
it
is.
Out.
With the
hey,
Showbiz
Ralph,
Beat.
How was your weekend, man? Oh, it was craptacular.
Good.
Is that good?
Bad or bad? Craptacular sounds bad.
It was good.
All right.
Good for the most part. Yeah. How'd the Smod Castle go?
Oh, great. Another sold-out night, and I'll wait to make the big announcements.
Oh, big announcements. Oh.
You're going to big announcements.
Oh,
about
right.
the about okay. Smod Castle.
Okay.
I'm going to hold off till it's officially official. Don't want to get the cart before the horse. But
okay.
big goings on. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. All right.
Before I get to showbiz news... And by the way, happy birthday, Bean, over the weekend. I got a
Thank
chance
you.
To send you a little note. I meant to, but I was knee-deep in diapers. Did a lot of diaper changing this weekend.
Is that code?
Nope. It was just me and diapers filled with poop.
It does sound like an unfortunate sex position you may be trying out at home.
I'm
glad to hear that's not the case.
My wife mentioned last week that it was Bean's birthday. I guess it was yesterday. And then Friday, she said, you took care of Bean's gift, right? And I was
I took care of it.
Yeah.
The way Bean took care of that rooster that one time.
Yeah. I'm all over that.
Oh, yeah, me too.
He got like two things for me.
Bean was probably just answering his door. The UPS guy kept dropping stuff off for me all weekend long.
Then I made a note, get Bean something for birthday.
I forgot it was
just,
his birthday.
Just, no, not necessary at all. Thank you.
All right,
I
good.
Appreciate it.
I'll tell her. We're all free.
We're all off the hook.
No worries.
But how about love? That's a good gift, right?
Yes,
love.
Birthday
and it's
love.
It's what you're known for anyway.
It is. Well, once a year, I'll love you. Boom. There you go. That's your gift. Maybe some for Christmas.
Congratulations. Too.
Before I get to showbiz news, I do have some things to give away. Passes to a very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Black Swan.
Oh, this is the one.
On Thursday, December the 2nd, the screening. The movie goes into theaters everywhere on the 3rd, but if you're one of the first five callers that gets through at 1-800-520-1067, you'll be one of the lucky people to see it first. Black Swan, of course, starring Natalie Portman.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mila Kunis. Oh.
Yes.
Tale of two devil-possessed ballerinas who battle it out in space, I think. I think that's the story.
I don't think the in space part.
Yeah, but, they're both full of demons and stuff, and then they go out of space and they fight over... the moon or something.
You might want to just
I'm gonna bone up on this.
Yeah,
like, yeah. No. But yeah, it looks good on every level. I don't know why Swan's got to be black, but
I don't either.
If you'd like to go, call now 1-800-520-1067.
Crazy battling world of ballet. they go off.
I know it doesn't jump off the page as a thriller, as a chiller.
No,
right.
But by all accounts, it is a dark, disturbing, fascinating story.
The cast and the director, Darren Aronofsky, who, you know, has never made a movie that has been less than interesting.
All right.
Not according to Rachel Weisz.
But what does she know?
See, because they're married, and then they're getting divorced.
And then they were.
Let's take a look at today's top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? We do it every Monday morning. Megamind. It looked like Unstoppable was going to be Unstoppable on Friday. That was way in the front. And then Megamind comes along, sneaks up behind it. Passing Lane.
Wow.
Ended up being number one for the weekend. Megamind made $30 million this weekend. Unstoppable was number two with $23.5 million. Anybody a chance to see the train that would not be stopped?
No.
I didn't, but if it stops, it's going to be held to pay.
I know. Due date was third. Skyline, in its debut, made $11.7 million, good enough to make it number four. Morning Glory, Harrison Ford, Rachel McAdams, Diane Keaton. Not a lot of people went. $9.6 million, made it number five this weekend. Lisa, did you go?
I didn't have
you
time.
You were so excited!
I'm still excited.
You
were
so
time.
Excited. Not excited enough to go, though, nope. Apparently. For Colored Girls was sixth, Red was seventh, Paranormal Activity 2 came in at number eight. Saw 3D was 9th, and Jackass 3D was 10th. Well, this is a fine kettle of fish. Remember how they said no thanks to Mel Gibson for his cameo in Hangover 2?
Yes.
Right.
No thank you, sir. You are you're too honked up for us.
First they announced it was a done deal.
Right.
And then
well, according to director Todd Phillips, he was the one who asked him, and everybody was good to go. And then the cast said, we'd rather not work with that loon, if you don't mind.
Right.
So Liam Neeson came in. Took over that role. Now, just announced another cameo. One who's going to get cheesed up about this one. Apparently, former President Bill Clinton will play himself in a cameo in the upcoming Hangover 2.
That's awesome.
Yay! Hollywood Reporter says the former president shot his part Saturday in Bangkok.
Hey, see?
Where he was already scheduled to,
Bang, bang, bang.
To be. Apparently, he loves Bangkok.
Mm-hmm. Yes, bang, bang, bang.
Apparently, he had some business in Bangkok.
Yeah, you know what?
Bang, bang, bang. He likes the lady boys. That's what I'm thinking. No, he was delivering a speech on clean energy.
Boring.
Oh, he's clean. Hey. Corey Feldman announced.
What?
I know.
How do you say those words with a straight face?
A story would begin with Corey Feldman announced.
No, it shouldn't.
That everyone involved with the Goonies wants to get together and do a sequel.
That is what we've all been waiting for.
Corey Feldman says that Steven Spielberg, co-star Sean Astin, director Richard Donner, they're all dying to reunite for a Goonies sequel. The only problem, Corey says, is they can't get the studio interested in paying for it and then releasing it. Well, you know why? Because it's a Goonies sequel.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Goonies. You know what made Goonies cute? Little kids. Little kids running around looking for treasure. That was cute. You're all grown up now. You're all drug-addicted adults. Most of you are fat. No one's interested in you.
I have a hard time believing Josh Brolin's interested in doing another Goonies.
That's probably
Spielberg,
true.
Everyone he mentioned. I have a hard time believing they're into it.
Yeah. Corey says, however, there is a talk of a Goonies musical on Broadway.
Right.
Oh, Corey. Oh.
This is sad.
Oh, God took the wrong one. Speaking of big movies, still a lot of talk in the casting world about the next Batman movie. The Dark Knight Rises, the third in the Christopher Nolan trilogy of Batman films. Apparently, there are two major female roles in the script. One, Bruce Wayne's new love interest, because Maggie Gyllenhaal, you may remember in the last film, got blowed up.
Sure. Yeah. There's that.
And she wasn't that attractive.
No, not at all.
And then a major female villain. So we can only hope. Catwoman, right? Catwoman, right? Right? Catwoman.
Yeah, we hope.
Here's the short list, according to Deadline.com. Of who is being considered for one or both of these roles. Keira Knightley.
Okay.
I'm trying to, when I read this list, I'm trying to imagine who would make the best Catwoman, because that's really the key role, right?
Sure.
If that's the way they're going. Natalie Portman.
There it is.
All yes.
Right. She might be a little too tiny to be Catwoman, though.
She's small.
She's a small girl.
She's not big.
Anne Hathaway. Hathaway's a big athletic-looking girl.
They don't have a costume to fit her nose.
How dare you, sir. Blake Lively.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
Could you have Blake Lively be in two comic book movies in the same year? Can she be in Green Lantern and Dark Knight Rises at the same time?
Sure. All the time.
Naomi Watts.
Oh, wow.
Fine.
She's 60, right? But still, she could be Catwoman. Hasn't Naomi Watts been around forever? I'm just saying. She's been around. And Rachel Weisz. That's my pick for Catwoman.
Right.
Rachel Weisz. And though no one has thrown her hat into the ring, where's my Kate Beckinsale?
That
would be a Catwoman, wouldn't it? We've already seen her in black leather and all those underworld movies, and she looks great.
She does. She's great.
I think she'd be a good one. So someone call Nolan and give him my advice, will you, please?
Ralph, there are other female villains that potentially could show up if it's not Catwoman, too. Aren't there some others in the mythology?
Yeah, there's Poison Ivy, who you may remember. Uma Thurman played her in the bad movies.
Right.
There's a couple, but I think if you are Christopher Nolan, and you've just come off of the biggest money-making comic book movie of all time, and you feature Heath Ledger as the Joker...
Right. Yeah,
which is a major, major character. I don't think you can drop back to a Poison Ivy or something like that. I think you have to go with your big guns,
and you got to
come out with Catwoman.
Yeah,
because by all accounts, the Riddler's not going to be in the next one, and there's no Penguin being mentioned, so you have to go with one of the marquee villains for Batman.
No, Mr. Freeze.
Arnold's available again. I mean,
as Catwoman?
No, Mr. Freeze.
Look at me, I'm a pussycat. Meow. You know what falsies on? Be great. Maybe Lindsay Lohan will be Catwoman.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Belle.
Well, she's out of rehab. She was out of rehab over the weekend. Apparently, she got a day pass for good behavior.
What's happening here? The judge said January 3rd, right?
Sometimes she's shopping, going to movies, now she's home.
Aren't they giving her enough time to actually use drugs while she's in rehab
sure
with all these things out?
Sure seems like they're dangling that carrot right in front of her nose.
Seems like if the judge said to us January 3rd, it would be January 3rd.
Yes, it does.
Right?
And this doesn't seem like it should be considered a punishment for which you get passes out of for good behavior.
Right.
You're supposed to be in there working on something. Just stay there and do your job. But they did give her some time off so she could go back to her West Hollywood condo, spend some time with her dad, Michael. Apparently they had dinner together, and then she was... also meeting with the director of Inferno, that Linda Lovelace biopic that she's committed to. Apparently they had a meeting as well. And then she went back to rehab. So
the stash of Four Loko for everyone.
I'm just saying, test that urine. It's all unrecommended back at the bench.
Rehab just doesn't sound that bad.
Not if you get to come and go as you please.
No, you could leave. Yeah, sure.
Excuse me.
Today's celebrity birthdays, the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Yeah!
Macho Man, Randy Savage, Slim Jim.
Woo!
Remember when he was the spokesman for Slim Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, they were good times. He's 58 years old today. Johnny Lee Miller, actor you may have seen this season on Dexter. Mm-hmm. He plays the motivational speaker in this arc this season. He's 38 years old today. Beverly D'Angelo, talented actress, is 59. Ed Asner.
Lou Grant
from the old Mary Tyler Moore Show, of course, most recently had a smash hit with Up. He was the voice of the old man in Up, that animated film.
Sure.
And he's going to be playing Warren Buffett in an upcoming movie about the collapse of the economy. He is 81 years old today. And Judge Joseph Wapner. Remember Judge Wapner?
Oh, sure.
From the original People's Court? Sure. He's 91 years old today.
Wow. Is he still on TV? He's not, is he?
He's not. No, he is retired.
Take way too long to get any kind of results out of him.
It would. Well, Rusty.
We'll be back after this.
Calls the bailiff over. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
A lot of times we'll come in and we'll tell you, frankly, we'll lie to you that it's a huge show, but today really is a huge Kevin and Bean show. Next hour, details on the annual Acoustic Christmas Concert, first and foremost. How about that?
How about that?
And because it is the most wonderful time of the year, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to talk about Miss Double December 2011. Hit it, Steve.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
She does have great cans.
That's true.
She does.
I'm going to miss Danielle, I'll tell you that. She's been one of the all-time great Miss Double Decembers. We have enjoyed her so much the last year, but that's the way it works.
We have enjoyed her, but that is true.
It's time to pick a new one.
All right. By the way, she probably would have won Miss Butt, too, by the way, if we had that competition. She's unbelievable in every respect. But it is going to be time to kiss her goodbye, and I hope I mean that literally, when we crown a new Miss Double December right around the corner on December the 3rd. So it's time for us to make that announcement on the radio and give you some details, ladies, on how you can enter if it's something you've been dreaming about since you were a little girl.
If you're not familiar with the title, Miss Double December, every year we here at the Kevin and Bean Show choose a spokesperson, a woman who can represent the face of the Kevin and Bean Show, if you will.
We're not much to look at.
No.
And we're good with that. I mean, we understand that's our role. Is not to be looked at. So
we're behind the scenes guys more than anything.
And when we do a live events or personal appearances or when we broadcast from a certain location, we understand that people coming down there might want something good to look at.
Right.
And so that's why we have Miss Double December, who's sort of the you know, the beauty pageant winner, if you will, of the Kevin and Bean mm-hmm. show.
She's a spokesperson.
She is. She represents us, and we send her abroad, and she does missionary work, and we have her raise charity in Haiti and stuff. She becomes a UN ambassador and things.
I don't remember that part.
Or she just shows off her giant cans. Yeah, when we show
that might That's be right. it.
Now, you see what's in it for us is that we get to hang out with an incredibly hot, busty woman all year long. But there's a real advantage to being Miss Double December, too. The downside is you got to hang out with Kevin and Bean. The upside is you come to all the Kevin and Bean events. If we're having a singles party, for instance, or, for instance, next month when we're doing the acoustic Christmas concerts, you are there. You know, you come with us.
Both times.
So, yeah. So, I mean, there's certainly something in it for you.
The Weenie Roast concert in the summer, mm-hmm. you're invited to that to come hang out with us. All the live events that we do, all the live broadcasts that we do, if they'll let us do any more after what we did last year.
Yeah, sure. Come to Las Vegas with us next time.
Right.
April Foolishness, when we do that concert in April, you get to free tickets for that as well. So there are some criteria, though, to be Miss Double December. And every year we get into the discussion of how specifically are we going to hold you to D or double D? And I think the answer to that is very.
You mean we're going to be very picky about it?
Well, there are girls who call and go, I'm hot, I want to do it, but I'm a B cup. And to which we say, that's fantastic for you and your little friends.
There are some specific, there's a specific type, a look that Miss Double December usually is represented by.
Yes, that's true.
The curvy, busty look seems to be the way we've been leaning in previous years.
Well, double D is in the title.
It really is.
So
now, you don't have to technically be a double D cup.
Now, are we going to measure whether you're a D or a double D?
No.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not.
Because we can tell just by touch.
No, we're not.
We don't need a ruler.
In the dark, we can tell.
Yeah, we do have double D in the title, but that doesn't mean it's a limit. If you're above that, I mean, we're also willing to take
entries. Wouldn't be an F or an E or an H.
Yeah.
An I.
But I think.
An M.
Look,
Z.
There are some there are some women with C's, for instance, that are gorgeous and have phenomenal figures.
Right.
I'm not sure that qualifies, though, to be Miss Double D.
But with the push-up bras, how are we going to know?
And it depends on how you carry those C's, you know?
Yeah, that's correct.
Sometimes a full C on a petite girl can look spectacular. Now I hate to limit us.
You do have to be 21 or over because a lot of the things we go to serve adult beverages.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to be 21 or over. You have to send in two photos. And we haven't spelled this out, and this is a bad thing that we haven't. These photos should be from the past, say, year.
Yes, recent photo.
Couple months, even better. But don't be sending us one that you took your high school year in 1986, and then we're going, wow, who's this?
And don't send a photo of you at a Halloween party where you're wearing a gorilla suit.
Right.
You know, we kind of need to see what you look like and perhaps even your shape, perhaps, before we put you into the competition.
We need the goods. We need the goods.
Well, we're not, we don't need nude photos or anything, but just something.
But let's not limit ourselves,
something that puts your best foot forward, let's say.
Or breasts.
Or breasts in this particular case.
So, but please make them current. Please, because we will find out. We're going to narrow it down to the final 10. You'll come into the studio. We'll go, you're 76 years old. That's an old photo. Get out.
Or they sent us photos of like 10 of their friends all locked in arms at some drunken frat party. And you can barely make her out in the center, you know, on the left. Something that features you first and foremost.
Okay, so you send in your photo, you fill out the application that has, basic information on how we can get back in touch with you, but also includes, again this year, Ralph, am I right, some questions that we get to learn a little bit about your personality as well, right?
Absolutely. We'll ask you several things that you have to think about and give us responses to so that we have some insight into how your mind and your personality works, because when we have the actual competition, the actual pageant, which is where we take our top 10 vote-getters and we put them up online and we do a big live show and we'll interview you on stage. We want to make sure you have something to say to entertain the folks.
Right.
So believe it or not, we may be the only guys out there that also care about your personality in addition to your enormous boobs.
But just briefly.
In passing. Yeah. No, but here's the thing is that we do spend a lot of time with them. So, like in this past year's example, she's hot and she had a great personality. Perfect world.
And she was a great writer, too. She would write blogs for us and stuff. Yeah. And she really was. She was the goods. I'll miss
her. Can we keep her? We should just start adding a new Double December every year, but not jettisoning the old.
Or maybe we can just let the old run for a second term.
Fine.
Maybe she can go back into
the mix.
Give
it another shot at it?
Yeah.
So you go to kevinandbean.com, and it's at the very top of the page. It's the most wonderful time of the year, time for New Miss Double December. That'll give you all of the details about how to apply. The entry form is right there. There's also a photo gallery and video, by the way, from past Miss Double Decembers. And the deadline is, do I have this right? It's a week from today, right?
Yes, 1 week from today.
So you have a full week to kind of get your package together to apply.
I got my package together.
If you got a package, do not apply.
Hang on a sec. We got one complaint here about the contest. I have no idea what's going on with this guy. But
they look ridiculous. Get rid of him.
Stop it.
Telling you. It's just an appraisal. Keep him if you want. Look stupid. See if I give a
We're trying to...
No. But they're too big and they look stupid. They look like some Vegas bitch. They look like a Vegas whore.
No. Wow. This Double December is a great, great contest that we look forward to it every year. You don't have to come to the live show December 3rd if you don't want to. How about that?
So if you're listening now or if you have a friend who you know would like to be into this, let them know. Between now and next Monday is your time to enter. And there's a giant picture of boobs on the website. You just click on that, and that'll take you where you need to go.
And we have a special prize, I think, this year, Kevin, don't we? If you win Miss Double December, aren't you going to Brett Favre the girls?
Yes, that is true.
Kevin will text you a picture of his penis.
Lucky women.
I told him we all would.
If you're lucky enough to get in the top 10, you will get Brett Favre by those of us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You are provocatively dressed all the time. Yes. And you're fake boobs. Stop it. You have to show off.
Why are you so negative? Come on now. So Miss Double December, you got to be 21 or over. You got a week. Go to kevinandbean.com. We are going to have our pageant December 3rd at the Slide Bar in Fullerton.
Yeah.
And we'll pick a final 10 and we'll put them up. We'll let you vote like Ralph says. And we'll bring them in. They'll have a talent.
Yeah, they will.
Sometimes. There's usually 3 out of 10 of them. Their talent is putting their fists in their mouth. But all right.
Yeah, it's provocative.
It is. And that's what we like. It's Miss Double December. It's open now. So go to the website and enter.
Kevin and Bean Show bringing the funny today, which means we're letting other people do the heavy lifting as usual. Comedians Michael Ian Black and Greg Fitzsimmons, both on the program today. Also, our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. And about an hour from right now, details on this year's Almost Acoustic Christmas night number one. Right now, though, a little bit nervous. Ralph Garman says, hey, Kevin and Bean, carve me out some time on Monday's show. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, this is a special break just for me and the listeners. As you know, I like to consider myself...
Not for Bean and I?
No. I'd like to consider this... a public service that I present. You may know by now that I like to consider myself the historian of the Kevin and Bean Show. I like to reach back into the archives and find special little bits and pieces that Kevin and Bean have done in the past.
I wish we had time for this. But
things that made the men they are today.
Have to move along.
And the listeners are kind of spectacular when it comes to finding rare footage and rare audio and rare video of you guys.
F them.
Over the years, they've been like private investigators for me. They've sent me, remember that horrible game show you guys hosted, the pilot for that?
Yes.
They found that for me.
Yes, I do.
Remember the Addams Family Marathon you guys hosted on Thanksgiving Day? They sent me that. There was the Godzilla Theater. They sent me that. You guys hosting that video show?
Jeez.
Your first show together when you did the garage sale hotline or whatever.
That
remember
was
we
swap
had
that?
Horrible audio. It's been amazing the gifts that keep on coming from the Kevin and Bean listeners.
I feel like we've decided to run for office, and now the other side's political machine is just investigating everything we've done since we were 11 to make sure that it gets made in public.
Well, Bean, you might be happy to know that you are off the hook in this particular edition.
Come on!
What? But it is another time, is time for another chapter in the history of Kevin and Bean.
And now it's time for another chapter in the history of Kevin and Bean.
How come Bean gets off the hook?
Well, because this particular batch of clips that was sent to me by a listener, Noah is his name, and I want to thank him for giving me the heads up to this. I know it's hard to believe, boys and girls, but there was a time where Kevin and Bean did not work together. It's hard to believe. It's like there was a time before peanut butter and jelly were together, or before Oreos and milk were together, but there was a time when they had separate careers. And our man Kevin worked at a radio station in Arizona, in Phoenix, I believe, KZZP, right? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah.
Now, you know, Kevin hates the oldies and hates parody songs and hates being that guy. And he doesn't really cotton to that kind of hijinks all too much. But it turns out Kevin used to have a different opinion of those kind of things.
I'm going to go in the other room, I think.
Kevin was the comedy machine back in the days at KZZP, apparently. And now maybe you recognize why he doesn't do so much of that here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I used it all up there.
But I brought in some clips of some hilarious parody songs.
I wish we had time.
That our man Kevin was involved with when he was working there, when he was stationed at KZZP. This first one is a hilarious parody of the Beach Boys hit Kokomo.
Uh-oh.
It's called Papago, which apparently is a small city outside of Phoenix. And this was about the new I-10 freeway that opened up going through Papago and how much chaos it was going to create on the roads.
Wait, I did a song about that?
I'm working up to the main event, but this is you in the background. You can hear you distinctly in the singing background to this hilarious parody of a Beach Boys song, which I can't believe you didn't veto right away, by the way. But here you are participating in this parody song called Papago.
Take the exit from I-17. There's a freeway called the Papago.
Pretty good so far.
That's where the valley goes to drive away from it all. Afternoon red light, school zones and construction sites. It's driving me insane. There's a snowbird in the passing lane.
Wasn't in that.
Yeah, that's
that
you.
Terrible.
That's you singing in the background there. That was horrible.
Is that the once in future Richard Cheese singing lead on that, by the way?
It may be. And then diehard Lakers fan Kevin got together with his little pals at the radio station for a hilarious Phoenix Suns song.
What?
Once again, based on the popular canon of Beach Boys music that Kevin loves so much. This song is called Sun, Sun, Suns. Instead of fun, fun, fun from the Beach Boys hit. Yeah, this is... Now, we're working up. You know, Kevin is kind of did a little work on the Papago song. Now he's featured a little bit more prominently in this one. If you listen carefully, you can absolutely hear Kevin sing in background.
It's the Phoenix Suns, Suns, Suns. They're the hottest in the NBA. Suns, Suns, Suns. They're the hottest in the NBA. NBA. It's going bananas because the championship's at stake. Gorilla's an ape now. Gorilla's an ape. Tom Chambers can tell Kareem to go jump in a lake.
In what world am I doing Beach Boy parody songs?
Beach Boys Phoenix Sun
Two
songs.
Of them.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't hear myself in that either.
Yeah, well, I absolutely could.
All right.
But apparently you did so well in those two that they gave you your own song.
Oh, I don't want to hear this.
Now, apparently there was a local weatherman, I guess, in Phoenix called Dr. George Fishbeck.
Oh, dear God.
And so Kevin thought it would be hilarious to spoof Motley Crue's Dr. Feelgood. Uh-oh. And include lyrics about Dr. Fishbeck. So here's Kevin.
Because those names are similar.
Here's Kevin singing lead in the Motley Crue parody, Dr.
Oh,
Feelgood,
yes.
Dr. Fishbeck. We've included it in its entirety. Here's where you can enjoy it.
In its entirety, we don't have
Come on
for
over.
That.
See what we've got right now, mostly cloudy. Oh, look at that. Oh, I despise fog. It's like a whiteout. Look, that's what it's like. All right.
Partly cloudy or clear blue skies. Is it hot in Hollywood? Are we going to get fog or the same old smog? Is the forecast bad or good? Sunny days or purple haze, wind or rain or shine.
Do you have glitter on my eyes at this point?
Yeah.
You don't
think you do. Yeah.
If you want to find out, Channel 7's the place right around dinner time.
All right.
He's the one you watch, Dr. Fishbeck. Tells you if the weather is all right. He's the one you watch, Dr. Fishbeck. Checking out your weather satellite. Seems like forever he's been doing the weather. Winter, spring, summer, and fall.
Come on.
Look at you rock.
I'm a virtual wing.
Screws up the forecast, puts his teeth in a glass, takes a swig of Geritol. Mustache, glasses, and gray hair, king of the weather map. He's talking up a storm, makes you cold, front warm when he's doing his weather rap. He's the one you watch, Dr. Fishbeck. Tells you if the weather is all right. He's the one you watch, Dr. Fishbeck. He wants to be your meteorologist.
Hey, right now, mostly on my favorite picture. Look at those fellows. They had 7 inches of rain, and I'll have a little report on this coming up during the week. It's wonderful at the Arboretum. That's my favorite picture. I don't care.
California's oldest weatherman, Dr. Fishbeck, points at temperatures with his hand. Dr. Fishbeck got a goofy bow tie on his neck. Dr. Fishbeck, he's the weather stud. Dr. Fishbeck.
All right, mostly cloudy temperatures.
actually 69. I'm expecting that fog to come in. Oh, at home, should be in about now. That's it, good friends.
Dr. Fishbeck.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we found our opening act for this year's The Feast of Christmas. Michael Ian Black joins us in minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show, trying something completely new, by the way. It looks like a fascinating project with so many great stars and people we love in it, like John Hamm and Sarah Silverman. Can't wait to hear all about that coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat in minutes right now, though. Time to pay tribute to, I think, your new favorite video that we put on the Internet Roundup last week. Right, Kevin?
Yeah, go to kevinandbean.com if you want to see this Internet Roundup. And it should be the first one. It's called Drinking Out of Cups. And I'm fascinated with it. And we found out when we played it last week that this is older. It's like 5 years old.
Oh, okay.
But it refuses to die. It keeps finding new audiences as it spreads from website to website. So it's fairly new to us. But yeah, it's been around for a number of years. And I guess the guy who made the video, Liam Lynch, is a guy who's been on our show a couple times before. Hilarious musician himself. And he teamed up with, he took the work of another musician named Dan Deacon and put this thing together. And I guess the premise of it is it's as if, it's kind of like Bleep My Dad Says. You're sitting on a couch with a guy who's flipping channels and has a comedy, has something to say about everything he sees on television, right?
Right, and he's just riffing. So he'll see a chair on TV and he'll go, that's a chair. It's not my chair. You know, he starts talking about stuff and then he keeps flipping and flipping. But really the challenge is to figure out what he could possibly be watching.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Is he on cold medicine? That's one of the things we heard. Was he drunk? That's one of the things we heard. Was he on like LSD? That's one of the things we heard. We don't know that he's on anything. But he is just stream of consciousness, just crazy. And Liam Lynch made a video out of it and put it on his first podcast at lynchland.com. And it looks like a lizard that is mouthing what this guy is saying. But just listening to this guy is my new favorite thing. I'm sorry I'm late to the party, but I didn't hear this until last week, and I so love him so much.
What does the guy think? He's an Indian? What is he, a goddamn asshole? What the f*** is he doing? Not ever. No way. Now he's Johnny Hanna sticks. I'm running away like he's friggin' Tommy Noble. What the hell's he doing?
Okay, so I have no idea what he could be possibly watching right now, right? What, he's flipping around and he's got on his TV?
Think she's got it going, bossing over. No way. No way. What is this garbage? What is this? Oh, I'm king of the trees. I'm the tree meister.
All right, now, what's he looking at?
I don't know.
He looks at something on the TV and he says, what am I, king of the trees? I'm the tree meister.
Watching a Tarzan movie? I have no idea.
I count on them. Well, sometimes I pry, I got like the steelest. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. This guy's a guy's some sort of Indian in the teepee. Ooh, this guy thinks he's Captain Knots. Thinks he's Captain Tying Knots.
All right, now, he thinks he's Captain Tying Knots.
No idea.
So somebody must be tying a knot on TV.
Yes.
But
in a tree.
Why is he so upset about...
When everyone needs some knots tied, they go to him. Bullshit. Bullshit face.
That's right. Listen, if I want a knot tied, I don't have to go to Mr. King of Knots or whatever
Captain
he is.
Knots.
Yeah. Why would this upset him so much?
I don't know. I can't imagine what he's watching, and I don't know why he's so upset, but it's awesome.
Bull, this woman's such a bitch. Thinks she's Miss Sand. Drinking out of cups.
That's the name of it, drinking out of cups.
Being a bitch. I bet her fist. I bet her fatalist... Barned, Patterson, patted little kid in the background, going crazy. Who's this guy, Mr. Balloons?
This is what I. These are some of the things I was going around all weekend saying. Who's this, Mr. Balloons?
Mr. Balloon Hands.
Mr. Balloon Hands.
No way, no way. Get real, like those things, Mr. Walkway.
All right, now I don't know what this is. It's some kind of a, you know, those moving escalators.
Mm-hmm.
He sees one of those and he gets angry at that.
Mr. Walk Down Me, I'm the walkway. Lead me to the building. You. 5643. Yeah, right. You're some stupid bitch. Who paid for that floor? Not me.
Okay, so who paid for that floor? So now he must be looking at a new floor. And he wants to know who paid for it. He didn't pay for it, though. He wants to let you know. And he's not going to either in the future.
No way. Never pay for no floor ever again. Not once, not never. Nope. Whose chair is that? Who bought that goddamn chair? That's not my chair.
It's just some random. He's just flipping around. He sees a chair. Whose chair is that? It's not my chair.
Not my chair. Not my problem. That's what I say.
Yeah.
No way. Stupid dresses.
He must have moved on to the Fashion Channel or something where there's...
Stupid dresses?
Stupid dresses.
Stupid flowers. TV lighthouses rule.
Are you kidding? Turn off the TV and lay down. I want him to do this forever. All right, now he gets on to lighthouses. Now, what do you think a guy like him Sounds sort of, you know, new. He's like New Jersey is,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Lighthouses. What do you think he comes out on lighthouses? He's angry at floors and chairs and dresses.
They got to be stupid, right?
Right.
Lighthouses rule. You don't like the lighthouse? You suck. What is this, seahorse captain?
Now, I don't know what this is. What is this seahorse captain? I'm not sure what he's watching.
What, seahorse seashell party? Who didn't invite me? Why didn't I get invited, seahorse seashell? What is this? Get real. I'm in love with seahorses. I'm in love with them. They're so beautiful and cute. I'm in love with the seahorses. They're unreal. I love them. They're like all the clocks. I love them. I love seahorses, and I love looking at them, and I love seashells. I love seashell things. I love things with seashells and seahorses on them, like blankets and towels and little bags. I love them. Seahorses forever.
So he loves lighthouses and seahorses?
Seahorses forever. Yes. And Liam Lynch put up a video that's very funny. It looks like a lizard is saying these things, and he added all of the stuff into the video.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
It's really fascinating because you have to think, what could this guy possibly, A, have been on, and B, what could he have possibly been watching? What sense does it make? What are you, the king of tying knots? I got to come to you if I'm tying knots?
How angry can you be at sand?
Right, exactly. But seahorses he loves. Seahorses forever. So you can find that at kevinandbean.com, Internet Roundup. Is that Bean?
I think it was.
Wow.
Singing along.
Nice. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 6:56.
Michael Ian Black joins us after the top of the hour, and then details on the Almost Acoustic Christmas 2010. You're not going to want to miss this, because let's face it, that's one thing I know about this radio show. We only mention it once, and that's it. It's gone.
That's it.
Yeah, you better. If you miss the announcement, you have no idea what's going on or when.
Won't be on the website, nowhere.
Better jot these details
down.
That's right.
Nowhere.
Get a pen and paper. Not once, not never.
Never.
No way. Not ever.
Coming up on the Kevin DeBeach Show right now, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
You know, we talked earlier this morning about our Miss Double December pageant, the Miss Double December competition, where we pick one lucky lady to be our spokeslady for the entire year.
Details are up right now at kevindebeach.com.
And I was thinking, yeah, we're pretty clever, aren't we? We're pretty funny. We take a tried and true tradition like the beauty pageant with Miss America, Miss USA, Miss Universe, and we put it on its head. We turn it on its head. Aren't we clever? Aren't we funny? We suck.
Why?
We're horrible. We're weak.
Well, that's true, but why?
Because some pageant organizers have done a real twist on the beauty pageant, which I love, and I wish we had thought of it.
Yes?
It is happening as we speak in Budapest, Hungary.
Okay.
We can steal from Budapest.
Budapest?
Yeah. What are they going to do?
It is Miss Mafia Universe.
Oh, wow.
All of the contestants in the beauty pageant must either have mob connections or have a criminal record that has gotten them actual prison time.
Okay.
Do you want to be the one who doesn't choose someone in that group?
No, I think you get killed for voting the wrong way.
Me too.
That seems bad.
It's very important to me that my girlfriend gets into the top four.
But she's ugly.
Not once, not ever. The judges have narrowed the field down to four finalists for next month's grand finale competition. One contestant says she likes this pageant because, for once, her record doesn't count against her.
Actually counts for her.
Another added, I'm glad to get through to the final four, but the party could have been better. I know, because I deal with party organizers all the time, and I know drugs.
Oh, man.
All right.
She was disappointed, apparently, in the drug presentation at the party.
Good drugs.
The winner gets a car and an apartment in Budapest. Wow. And then heads for an international showdown that will be hosted by Japan's Yakuza organized crime family.
Okay. Do all the runners-up die? I mean, do they shoot everybody?
I guess so.
I don't want to be in that competition.
Walk out instead of a sash, there's like a big target that's going on you, and you just stand out there on the stage. And
the laser red dot all over your body.
Seems scary. Anyway, so they got nothing on us for the double December thing.
No way. Not ever.
Not ever.
Congratulations! Now we know why Jessica Simpson wasn't nearly as upset as we thought she'd be when Nick Lachey announced his engagement. Bat. Jessica Simpson announced her engagement to former NFL player Eric Johnson.
Eric.
She has announced to People magazine that they're engaged to be married. She's got a 3-stone ruby and diamond ring that was created by Neil Lane that apparently is on her finger, and she says she couldn't be more excited.
Poor bastard.
There ought to be some sort of weight prenup that he can get her to sign where he's allowed to step out if she gains more than X number of pounds. Because let's face it, she is a yo-yo.
Right. She reaches a certain weight. They put her on one of those giant scales, and he gets her weight in gold or something, and then gets out of the marriage.
I like it.
Like when they weigh the Maharaja and they put his weight in rubies on one side. So, yeah.
But how much do you give her before that kicks in? I mean, what would you guess she weighs
she's
now?
She's about two bills now, so, I don't know, 250?
I mean, if you like her the way she is now, you can't let her gain any more.
What if you like her the way she was 50 pounds ago?
Well, then you're out of luck.
You
shouldn't be marrying her.
That's right. Sorry to hear some injury news to Justin Bieber. Apparently, he has injured his knee, which he claims he did during his concert. Yeah, that's when he hurt his knees.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's when he dropped to his knees and injured one of them. That's what happened. It was during the concert.
Right.
Wink, wink. Whatever you say, Justy. He tweeted, "Busted my knee last night in the middle of the show. Not fun. Finished the show with a sweet limp."
Sweet limp.
Yeah.
Wow, he's so gangster.
He sure is. Apparently, he also tweeted, "Knee is swollen today, but all good. Spending quality time with at Studio Mama." That's his mom's Twitter name, by the way.
Okay. So, all right.
If you want to contact her.
Important update. His knee is swollen some.
Yes.
All right. But
apparently all is well. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the hot movies over the weekend. Megamind did very well for itself. $30 million it made this weekend. People thought Unstoppable would be number one with Denzel Washington and Chris Pine, but it fell to second in the long run. $23.5 million made it number two. Due Date was third. Skyline, in its debut, came in at number four with $11.7 million. Then Morning Glory at five. Number six for Colored Girls, then Red, Paranormal Activity 2, Saw 3D, and Jackass 3D, rounding out your top ten at the box office. Today's celebrity birthdays, Judge Wapner.
Yeah.
The original judge from People's Court is 91 years old today. Actor Ed Asner is 81 years old.
Back Beverly, here.
He's a hairy dude. Yeah. Beverly D'Angelo, very talented actress, is 59 years old today. Kevin Eubanks turns 53, former Tonight Show band leader. Johnny Lee Miller is 38. You guys enjoying the Dexter this year?
Behind on it, but yes.
Yeah?
Love.
I'm starting to get a little chapped out about it. Yeah.
I'm a little behind.
Not a big Julia Stiles fan.
Oh, I like her.
And she is very front and center this season.
Yeah,
she's
awfully twitchy, isn't she?
She's way twitchy.
Well, hard to watch.
Yeah, she's acting her ass off up there
on that screen.
Boy, is she acting. Oh, look at me act. I'm sure acting here.
And it's not, the problem, it's battling its own success because previous seasons have been so unbelievable that it's a very difficult standard to achieve. And it's not as compelling a storyline this year.
Yeah, the whole partnership between them two is just not really flying for me, but it's okay. Like Bean's saying, you're judging it against brilliant television.
Yeah, exactly.
This is just very good television.
An average Dexter is way better than a good, normal show.
Absolutely. And Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, woo!
Wrestling legend turns 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are going to make an announcement later this hour of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2011. We're going to tell you all about it coming up on the world famous K-Rock. It's 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, very excited to welcome back to the show, Michael Ian Black is here in studio. How
Thank
are you, Michael?
You.
Good to see you.
So good is how I am.
Now, let me get some old business out of the way first, because I love and still watch the reruns of Michael and Michael Have Issues when it comes up on my DVR.
Thank you.
Canceled? Not coming back? I keep expecting to see new episodes. What happened with that?
Here's what you have to understand. When I'm on a television show...
Mm-hmm.
It gets canceled.
Watch it quickly.
Aww. Yeah, that's sort of the way it works. I'm a loss leader on television programs. I'm what you call a write-off.
Okay, but here's what I don't get. It was on Comedy Central, and let's face it, you don't have to bring too many people to the table to stay on Comedy Central.
No, you don't.
And it was really funny.
Yeah, that's
right. How are they not making any more of those?
I wish I understood the reasoning, because I don't. All I know is I'm not coming back.
Is it you? Is it they just don't like you?
It's entirely possible. I mean, I say some horrible, horrible things to the executives' faces when I'm there.
Well, maybe you shouldn't do that.
I don't know.
I'm just suggesting an alternative.
I don't know. Like the way I was just like cursing at you right before we went on the air. I do that a lot when
I did seem uncalled for because all we said was good morning.
You say good morning.
Right.
My response was to take off my pants and just start making furious masturbatory. gestures in your direction.
See, I thought that was something you guys had worked out before.
No.
Oh,
no.
This is just... Oh, all right.
He surprised us with that as well.
Okay.
I surprised myself, and it wasn't pleasant for anybody.
No one liked it. I can tell you that.
I can attest to that as well.
No. All right. It wasn't fun. It wasn't funny. It wasn't sexy
wasn't
in any
pretty.
Way. No, it wasn't sexy. You know what it was? It was aggressive, and it was ill-timed, and it was probably illegal what I did. So it's like that, but every day at Comedy Central.
Hmm.
When Lisa pointed out it's the first time she's seen that color foreskin, though, that must have made you feel good.
I felt okay about it. You know what I mean? It takes a certain... What you do is you take a piece of yarn, and if you tie it to your shaft and you just keep it there long enough, eventually the foreskin does discolor. And then
does it have to be tight?
Well, that's the thing. You to get the various shades, you have to loosen or tighten.
See,
it's
see.
An art form,
it's
isn't it?
It's an art form, yes. I learned
it's
it from
like
the Maori people in New Zealand. I don't know if the Maori people are from New Zealand.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we don't
are there Maori people?
Says this show isn't educational. All right, so you burned bridges at Comedy Central.
Left
let's face
and
it,
right.
That's the lowest possible rung of basic cable. So essentially what happens is...
I know, it's
you...
only one half step above radio.
Exactly, yes.
I'd say it's a full step.
And you're even slumming that far today. Okay, so once you burn the bridge at Comedy Central, that means you're essentially off television. That's how you end up on the internet doing a show, right?
Yeah, that's what happened there. So yeah, now I'm doing an internet show. No, that came about because my good friend Josh Molina, who you guys might know from The West Wing and
Certainly
Sports Night,
sure.
His career is also in the toilet.
Okay.
And so out of desperation, he wrote an internet series and then corralled all his friends to come and do it for free. And that's what it is.
Okay. But if there's one thing we've learned, and let's face it, we all see the coming merger of television and internet. I mean, now there's lots of people in this country who have them both on the same screen. It doesn't matter whether you're watching YouTube or you're watching ABC. I mean, let's face it, that's where we're headed. There are things on Funny or Die that are already getting more views than a lot of shows that are on television. I mean, that doesn't mean millions of people can't see something just because it's not on television, right?
No, I actually think your analysis is spot on. I think the coming convergence of television and internet broadcasting is just about upon us.
And you're the tip of the spear. You're right out in front.
No, the tip of the spear, as you saw, is discolored a little bit.
Yes, that's true. Right.
That's true. Yeah. All right, Michael Lee Black is here. It is called Backwash, and I think this introduction from the series at Crackle.com is going to tell you more than you probably are interested in hearing about what this new series is all about.
This fall, Crackle brings you a stunning new piece of filmed entertainment. Backwash. Shot on location in the United States of America in lifelike 2D. Backwash is the new web series that will blow your mind. You want stars?
Hi, I'm John Stamos.
Oh, Lordy, we've got stars.
Good evening, I'm John Hamm.
Hank Azaria.
Michael Vartan.
Jeffrey Ross.
Judaism, Sarah Silverman.
Allison Janney.
Ken Marino.
Marilyn Ricecup.
U.S. Secretary of Education Fred Will.
David Wayne. Dulé
Hill.
And
two-time Academy Award attendee, John Cho.
But wait, there's more. You'll get Comedy's Michael Ian Black.
I'm not gay.
Now, why? How come, what's the need to say that?
I mean, of all the words that I said in this tremendous, tremendous internet series, they choose I'm not gay? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Well, it does address
the
rumors,
with
at least.
Sword.
You did.
Well, I guess so, yeah.
So.
You're fighting.
Here's what I love about harnessing the power of the internet. You've got all of this technology. You're completely thrown off the shackles of broadcast standards. You can do anything that you want on a show like this. And in the first 5 seconds of the first promo for Backwash, there's guys making fart noises.
That's true.
That's what I love about comedy.
Well, but not just comedy, America.
That's a good point. It is an interesting insight in America.
Now, before we hear more about Backwash and hear how you managed to weave all those stars into these webisodes, Crackle.com is new to me. Is this a new type of entertainment portal, new website or what?
Yeah, Crackle is I guess Sony owns it, and it's their portal, I guess.
It's been around a couple of years now.
I don't use the word portal. What else should I know?
Well, a portal. That's portal. It's a weird word.
It is.
It's a channel. Let's call it a channel.
That's
right?
Channel. I can understand that.
Yeah, it's a channel, and they've got all kinds of shows on there, and Backwash is their new big release for 2010, I guess.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
All right, Michael Ian Black is here. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll find out all about his Ice Cream Man character and what we can expect from Backwash. And this is a very timely interview today, by the way, because usually we're years behind the times. But the debut episode premieres today on Crackle.com, right? This
exactly.
is it. This is the premiere.
This is premiere day.
Okay. We'll find out more with our guest, Michael Ian Black, when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Michael Ian Black is in the studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's one of those guests that we have in who's, you may not want to listen to this because you may be embarrassed, but he's a little bit of a renaissance man. He makes the rest of us kind of look like slackers. He's written best-selling books. He's got a popular blog. He's a popular Twitter feed. He does movies, CDs, stand-up, podcast, internet series. The boy's done it all is what I'm telling you. And he's taken over the internet as one of the stars. Yet he doesn't get a microphone on.
You don't have his microphone on. Sorry.
That is the story of his
life. After all that time. I apologize. I had plenty of time to turn it on. I mean,
what's a guy got to do in order to be included in the conversation, really? Kevin? Come on.
Sorry, my bad.
I had so much to add also.
Anyway, and now he's conquering the internet as one of the actors in a new series called Backwash that debuts today online at Crackle.com. And this isn't like a live Ustream deal that you watch it once and you have to see it at the time. I mean, it's archived, basically. You can go anytime. You can go now or you can go in 4 days if you want to still see it. Right, Michael?
That's the joy of the internet. It's just up there now, and you can watch it at your convenience. At your leisure, if you will.
So your friend Joshua Molina, who you mentioned, and his friend Michael Payne, they have been kicking this idea around for years and years and years, and finally both got to the point where their careers were so dead that they had time to develop it. Am I right so far?
It's sort of like, you know how James Cameron had Avatar, and he was just waiting for the technology to exist before he could make it?
It was like a 10-year wait.
Right. Yeah. It's like that in reverse. They were just waiting for their careers to get bad enough that they could justify making this web series.
All right, good.
And finally, we got there.
Tell me about your Ice Cream Man and what the plot is at Backwash.
The plot is essentially accidental bank robbery, three guys go on the lam. That's in its very, very basic form, that's what it is. But old war horse. Yeah, but it makes so much less sense than even I just said. And my character is one of their friends who is essentially framed for the robbery, not through malice, just through sort of stupidity.
All right.
And so I go on the lam with them, and I'm a ice cream salesman, lizard loving guy.
Another one of those.
Guy, I'm putting guy in air quotes because barely a guy.
You seem to wear, based on the coming attractions trailers, you seem to wear a lot of silly outfits.
Yeah. Well, that's in lieu of actually being good at comedy. You just put on a funny outfit and you've gone 80% of the way.
You win. You already win.
I think so.
You don't even have to be funny. Yeah.
No.
The very sexy John Hamm makes an appearance at the outset of episode one. Kevin, I believe you have a clip of Don Draper, am I right?
Good evening. I'm John Hamm. You may know me as Don Draper from Mad Men, or you might have seen me host Saturday Night Live, or maybe you just recognize me as the sweet piece of Hollywood ass that I am. Well, tonight, you're in for a treat. It's the broadcast premiere of William Makepeace Thackeray's heretofore unproduced masterwork, Backwash.
Oh, come on.
He's such a cool guy. Like,
F that guy.
Really?
Oh, you hate him?
I mean, who
did you do that for free?
How could you not hate that guy?
Well, he is better looking than all
nice
of us.
He seems nice and funny.
Yeah, exactly. Talented. That makes it worse. You know what I mean? I'd like him better if he was kind of a jackass, but he's just a nice guy and he's handsome.
Turns out he has a good sense of humor.
The worst.
Yeah, I hear you.
Best show on television.
I'm with you on that.
Screw
now. I hate
you,
him.
Buddy.
Yeah.
It's not enough that he lost both of his hands over on 30 Rock. I mean, come on. That's quite the price to pay.
But that was make believe.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. You know, if it was a real thing, I'd be like,
if he lost
his
hands, you'd be happy.
I wouldn't be happy.
You would be happy.
I would be satisfied. It's different.
While you're tooling around at Crackle.com and watching Backwash today, is it true, Michael Ian Black, a guest on the Kevin and Bean Show, that you also have a new podcast that people can now start listening to? Is that happening?
It is in the works.
Okay.
Now, what does that
recorded,
mean?
Well, we've recorded the first two episodes.
Okay.
And we're kind of figuring it out, and it's in post-production. We record the third and fourth next week. And it's called Mike and Tom Eat Snacks. And it's me and my old friend Tom Cavanaugh, who played Ed on Ed.
Sure. Love him.
Soon to be in Yogi Bear, I might add, as Ranger Smith.
All right.
So that's where his career
is. So that's
his
pedigree.
Yeah. And each episode is us picking a snack, eating a snack, discussing the snack.
I like it.
And discussing our lives in general.
And how they revolve around
Snacks. The snack serves as a springboard to larger inane conversations.
Right.
Is it possible we're at the point where we have too much bandwidth. Too much bandwidth. We're really using the internet for too many things, and not all of them are essential.
Well, but I feel like when you're saying too much bandwidth and not all of them are essential, I feel like you've mentally put your radio show sort of on the side of things that are essential, and my podcast over on the side of things that aren't essential. And I don't know where you draw the line.
I'd say that's pretty accurate. It sounds like what I had in my mind when you said it. That's right. All I know.
I mean, why is Mike and Tom Eat Snacks any less significant to the culture than, you know, drunk guy on YouTube?
When you put it that way.
Because drunk guy on YouTube is funny because he falls on his face.
We have put a lot of material on the air.
If he falls on his face, fair enough.
Do you fall on your face in the Eat Snacks podcast?
In a metaphorical sense,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, all right, good.
You can keep up with all the goings-on at MichaelIanBlack.net. And again, the debut on Crackle.com of Backwash today. It looks really, really funny. And we're very excited about this new project. And it's always great to have you on the Kevin Amin Show, man. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Always great to be here. My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Michael Ian Black. You can blame him. We didn't get to our announcement yet.
So damn it.
Write to Michael Ian Black in anger because you didn't find out about the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number one. We'll give you those details next. I promise. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:41. I blame Bean. I blame Bean for the fact that we haven't made the announcement yet.
We had a very popular comedian in. We were having some yucks. But now it is time, ladies and gentlemen. The 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas is upon us. Listen up. Here's what you've been waiting for.
Let it snow. Look alive, sunshine. All you K-Rock fiends with your fancy jeans and motor machines. We got two nights of pure Yuletide music adrenaline to heat up your gingerbread. It may be 70 degrees out, but it's snowing somewhere.
Listen up, K-Rockers.
Make some
noise. The 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Saturday, December 11th.
Gibson Amphitheater. Night one. My Chemical Romance.
I love this Christmassy time of year.
For friends like you.
Social Distortion.
Take away this fallen change of love on every empire.
Jimmy Eat World. Religion.
Welcome to the new dark age.
You and me have a disease.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
A day to remember.
The green light flashes, the flags go up.
Cake.
He's going the distance.
I'm so sick of you.
Amberlin.
Was this over before?
The Dirty Heads. Switchfoot.
This is the
The world is a vampire.
Smashing Pumpkins. The 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Thursday at noon. Info at krock.com. Details on night two, tomorrow morning at 7:15. Proceeds benefit Para Los Niños.
The world's famous.
And tomorrow we mean 7:15.
We're Smashing Pumpkins, Social D, My Chemical Romance, Bad Religion, Jimmy Eat World, Cake, A Day to Remember, Dirty Heads, Amberlin, Switchfoot. Again, an incredible lineup. Night number one is going to be Saturday, December the 11th at the Gibson Amphitheater. It's the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. If you missed it, because it does go by pretty fast, and we will play the whole thing again for you here in a moment. Tickets go on sale this Thursday at noon, and as in previous years, you must be a K-Rock Street Team member. That's easy to do, by the way. It takes about 30 seconds to apply if you're not already a Street Team member.
No,
but that's
your password. Then you need that password Thursday at noon.
Right.
Exactly. And it's super simple to do that. Tickets are the same price as last year also. $75 plus Ticketmaster venue service charges. It's an incredible night of rock and roll, and that is going to be December the 11th at the Gibson. And as we mentioned, we'll have details on night number two for you tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Want to hear it again?
Let it snow.
Look alive, sunshine. All you K-Rock fiends with your fancy jeans and motor machines. We got two nights of pure Yuletide music adrenaline to heat up your gingerbread. It may be 70 degrees out, but it's snowing somewhere.
Listen up, K-Rockers.
21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Saturday, December 11th.
Gibson Amphitheater. Night one. My Chemical Romance.
I love this Christmassy time of year.
For friends like you.
Social Distortion.
Take away.
Welcome to the new dark age.
You and me have a disease.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
A day to remember.
Green light flashes, the flags go up.
Cake.
He's going the distance.
I'm so sick of you.
Amberlin.
Was this over before?
The Dirty Heads. Switchfoot.
This is the
The world is a vampire.
Smashing Pumpkins. The 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Thursday at noon.
Info at K-Rock.com.
Ho, ho, ho!
Details on night two, tomorrow morning at 7:15. Proceeds benefit Para Los Niños.
The world's famous.
All right, so that band right there is going to be playing on night number one of the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We made the announcement earlier this morning. If you missed it, it is Saturday, December 11th at Gibson Amphitheater. Night number one is the Smashing Pumpkins, Social D, My Chemical Romance. Have you heard any of that new My Chemical Romance?
I've heard a couple tracks. Oh, they continue to bring it. They get exponentially better with every record they put out. It's amazing.
Bad Religion, Jimmy Eat World, Cake, A Day to Remember, The Dirty Heads, Amberlin, and Switchfoot. It is the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. And again, it is Saturday night. This is night number one, Saturday night, December 11th.
What about night two?
What about night two?
And you are saying that it is completely sold out. You're saying it is impossible to buy tickets? You cannot get tickets to the show?
Don't sell you, but you do have to be a K-Rock Street Team member. So go to krock.com, fill it out. It takes 5 seconds. You'll get a password Thursday at noon. You can buy those tickets Thursday at noon.
Okay.
Thursday at noon. Thursday
so
at K-Rock noon.
So K-Rock Street Team member, $75 plus service charges. All the details are available at krock.com Thursday at noon. And by the way, Street Team member, I mean, it sells out from being a Street Team member. So if you're not a Street Team member, you're not going to go. That's the point here. But it's worth signing up for, and we will have the announcement tomorrow morning at 7:15 for details on night number two. It is 7:55. Ralph Garman is here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. By the way, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us later on. Also, comedian Greg Fitzsimmons is going to be here. First, though, what's going on in the world? Oh, showbiz, Ralph.
Well, it's Monday. That means we take a look at the big movies at the box office and see how much money they made. Megamind was number one this weekend. Again, $30 million made it. So, Unstoppable came in at number two, $23.5 million, right behind Megamind. Then Due Date, Skyline's debut weekend made $11.7 million, good enough to make it number four. Morning Glory came in at number five. Then For Colored Girls, Red, Paranormal Activity 2, Saw 3D, then Jackass 3D, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Here's the thing about the Japanese.
Hey.
They want all human life eradicated, and they want the whole entire world taken over by machines.
They do?
That's their plan.
What are you talking about?
That's their plan. I'm telling you what their plan is.
How do you know their
plan?
You
want to know the plan?
Yes.
I'm telling you the plan. They want to extinguish human life as we know it and just have all machines.
How do you know?
Because it has started in Japan. They debuted a play. Easy, Lisa May. A play.
Now I have to fly to Japan.
Starring a robot actress.
Uh-oh.
Geminoid F is her name.
Hey!
And she made her stage debut this week in Japan.
Belle?
For
it's
a robot?
It's not a human.
Yeah, how do you...
I haven't seen her yet, but from what I know about Japanese anime, she's probably hot.
She is a lifelike
premature bell.
Robot that sits in a chair center stage and is completely operated by an engineer offstage, and her voice is recorded
and she stars with other human actors in this play, but she's one of the cast members.
Shut up, round eye!
Wow.
Here's a little piece of the news clip.
Geminoid F is a robot. The robots and has taken to the stage to perform in a short play. It was pretty realistic to me. The director says audiences love to see the android perform and that her acting skills can be fine-tuned, a bit like a lot of real-life actors. Apparently, real-life actors aren't so keen, though. They say they miss the human presence of another actor on stage.
Yeah, one of the other actresses, Brierly Long is her name. She says Geminoid F lacks a human presence. Maybe because she's a robot!
Yeah, she's not human.
Maybe that's why!
And, Ralph, don't they also have some sort of super sensational singing star who's a hologram that's big in Japan right now, too, that's also selling out concert arenas and whatnot?
Well, thank you for that segue, Bean. Japan also wants to take over the music industry with completely manufactured, completely robotic science fiction BS. They've got a wildly popular pop star in Japan named Hatsune Miku.
Hey!
The only thing about Hatsune is that she doesn't exist. She is selling out stadiums in Japan.
What?
She has become a cultural phenomenon.
What do they show people when
they
sell it out?
They show people a 3D hologram on stage. She's animated. She looks like one of those little animated schoolgirls, you know, in a little schoolgirl outfit, real long blue ponytails.
She's,
she's got those big round eyes. And she gets out there and she just sings and dances. She's backed by a live band. But she's completely manufactured. Now you're thinking, oh, that's not a big deal because the Gorillaz have done that for years. The Gorillaz have had an animated band.
Right.
But here's where you'd be wrong because there's an actual band behind the Gorillaz that makes the music.
Right.
Hatsune is completely manufactured because they had an actress come in and say different phonetic sounds.
Okay.
And then they punch that all into a computer. And then they hit a computer program, and the computer writes the music and sings the song.
So no one actually sings the song.
No human being has actually ever been in contact with any of her music. It's completely fabricated by machine. And then they fabricate this image, and they put that up on stage, and people are going ape-ass for this chick.
Are the people that go see it robots as well?
No, they're human beings, and they're selling out stadiums. Here's a clip of a live, I guess, live performance of Hatsune Miku starring in this production. Sold out audience, full of glow sticks and E and all kinds of things are going off there. Here's a little piece of the music.
Is that the Chipmunks?
No, that's Hatsune Miku.
Huh.
And she is the biggest star in Japan right now, and she does not exist. And no one has ever touched her music with human hands.
Do we not understand Japanese business, first
you
of all?
Don't.
Is that what's happening
here? And second of all, I'm telling you what the plan is.
That is
this
the plan.
This reminds me of that movie, Ralph. You'll remember what it was about Al Pacino, I think, was in it, where they created a virtual model. Remember?
Who
wasn't a real person, and they did it because she's easy to control. She doesn't.
Simone,
thank you. She doesn't gain weight. She doesn't back talk. She just exists, you know,
she's a movie
by
star.
Computer.
She's a fictional movie star. They're making that,
Same sort of thing that you're talking about going on in real life.
They're doing
Japan.
It for real life.
Yes, but
no
one's even making the music. Now the computers are making the music and creating the star on the image of the star. It is completely manufactured by machine.
I'm for it. I like it.
Because Bean wants to be a brain in a jar plugged into the Matrix. But the rest of us who are flesh and blood and walking around, it's going to be all over for us.
Yeah, too goddamn many humans anyway.
And then some Sunday morning, we're all sleeping in. Boom! Bombs! That's all I'm telling you. That's the plan.
By the singer?
Word to the wise. Remember Pearl Harbor.
That's right. Word to the wise is right, Paulie.
But you won't be attacked by Japanese pilots, though. They'll be machines.
That's
they'll be droids that'll be coming in to take out.
3D holograms of planes will be dropping 3D hologram bombs on us. Oh, it's all over, people.
It's a frightening peek at the future.
Run for the hills!
Today.
Create your lean-tos. Start your fires. Get off the grid. That's the only place that's safe.
All right.
Start eating skunk and squirrel and stuff, because that's what's going to come down to. We're all living in the post-apocalyptic wasteland. I'll be ready. Screw the rest of you.
I don't think we're quite at that point yet.
That's what Hitler said.
What?
I have no idea. Just saying. Be careful. Today's celebrity birthdays. Macho Man Randy Savage is 58 years old today. No. Different. No. That's the Village People.
I'm sorry.
Macho Man Randy Savage was the guy who said, Slim Jims. Remember him?
Slim Jims.
Yeah. He's 58 years old today. Johnny Lee Miller, actor. First husband of Angelina Jolie, by the way. You can currently see him on Dexter this season. He's 38. Beverly D'Angelo, actress, 59 years old. You okay?
Yeah, sorry.
All right. Didn't Beverly D'Angelo play the wife in all the Vacation movies with Chevy Chase?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that her? Ed Asner's 81 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show. Big day today. We made the announcement about the Almost Acoustic Christmas concert last hour. Also today, we're unveiling details on Miss Double December 2011. You can find that at kevinbean.com, and we'll tell you everything you need to know about that on the air in about 50 minutes. First, though, Michael Jackson back in the news. Now, Kevin, I know you've got a theory that if somebody dies and then they release songs, it's because they suck, and the estate is just trying to make money, right?
I'd say that's true in most cases. Yeah,
I would think so.
If it was good, you would put it out while you're alive.
Unless it was mid-completion.
Yeah, unless it was working on something at the right time that was genius or whatever. But for the most part, you put out your best stuff. So if he pass away and you have 100 songs, 95 of those suck.
Yeah.
That's just my theory, you know?
I think you're probably on to something. There certainly have been some exceptions. I mean, Nirvana had that big number one hit a few years ago called You Know You're Right, which they never released at the time that the band was together, and sat in a vault for 20 years, and they finally put it out, and it was a great song.
Yeah.
Big hit. But Michael Jackson is back, and he's one of the guys you're talking about who apparently just has dozens and dozens and dozens of unfinished songs, and apparently another one has been released that will be included on the new album that comes out in December, and this one is called Hold My Hand. What do we know about this?
This is a duet with Akon.
Right.
That's what we know about it, and it sounds a little something like this.
Ooh, oh, all right. Akon and MJ,
oh, yeah. Oh, please.
This life don't last forever.
It sounds like something you might hear on the bad top 40 stations, which is why I don't listen to those stations. That's sucky music is what it is. But it does sound relatively ready for the radio. I mean, it's at least it sounds like they were able to add enough to it that it sounds like a finished song, right?
I guess. Yeah.
But boy, is that terrible. Well, let's find out what's going on with Michael Jackson. We've got, of course, the hotline to heaven. We can get him on whenever we need and get an update from his perspective. Michael, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey!
We were just talking about how good this new song is.
Jammo!
Yeah, I think that song is wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that my fans are going to be able to finally hear it.
Now, why, you hadn't been putting out a lot of records in the years before you died. Why didn't you finish Hold My Hand and release it if you thought so much of it?
Well, I have so many projects and so many wonderful songs that I work on that I just didn't have time while I was on Earth to get to everything.
Okay.
And
okay.
I remember saying, before I died, to Akon, I really love that song, and I'd like someone to finish it. And he said,
oh, Michael. What's wrong with you?
Why is he doing the African clicklet?
I don't know.
I didn't understand what he said, really, but I'm glad he got around to finishing it.
Okay.
And,
now,
I'm really excited about the whole album. I think Michael is going to be a real wonderful thing for my fans to get.
All right, Hollywood, okay. There's some other song titles here. Hollywood Tonight.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
There's
I wish
one.
I had released that when I was alive. You want to hear a little Hollywood Tonight?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It don't really matter because it is Hollywood Tonight.
That sounds...
Wait a second, Michael. That's not a new song. That's just you singing different words. No, that's
Hollywood
black and white. That's black or white.
That's black or white.
Brand new.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds like you're just trying to make money off stuff you've already done. That's what it sounds like.
That would be greedy and callous.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And it's not my way.
All right, so let's see here. Keep Your Head Up is
the
name of
another... Oh, that's another good one. Keep Your Head Up.
Okay.
You want to hear that one?
Oh, please. We'd love to sample.
Okay.
It don't really matter if your head is up or if it's down.
Okay.
Yeah, keep your head up.
You might want to rewrite those lyrics because it's Keep Your Head Up.
Yeah, well, it says it later in the song.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I Like the Way You Love Me.
Oh, that's a good one. That's one of my favorites.
Okay.
Want a little taste of that?
Please.
I like the way you love me, and it good because I like it, yeah.
All right. I'm intrigued because a lot of times artists who are in the twilight of their career will bring in a lot of hot young...
I wasn't in twilight.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Point. Maybe your best hit-making days are behind you, so the way to freshen up your sound is to bring in young, hot people like Akon and this other track that we've heard about called Monster, I guess, features a guest appearance from 50 Cent. Tell us about that.
I'll play a little bit for you,
please.
If you like.
Okay. Just don't make it black and white.
It's a song called Monster, and it features 50 Cent and me.
That's not a song, Michael.
It is a song.
That's not a song.
I say it's a song. I know more than you. How many hits have you had?
Zero.
Bite me.
All right. How about Best of Joy?
Oh, that's one of my favorites. Okay. Best of Joy. That's going to be it? Great.
All right.
You're going to love this.
Now that I can get behind.
That's a hit.
You still got it.
All right, Michael, that's your best one.
Thank you.
You might want to release that first.
All right.
Got it. That's not you.
Damn
out! All right. I don't know what he's saying. What are you saying, Michael?
I'm just grabbing myself.
Do you have what it takes to be Miss Double December 2011? I'm going to say for most of you, no. But for the lucky few, listen up. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my d*** is hard.
So, big juicy melons.
We know we're not much to look at. We get that. That's cool. We're good with that. We made peace with that.
Nothing we can do about it.
Right. So what we've decided to do is come up with a Miss Double December. Then she comes everywhere we go. And then people have something to look at.
They listen to you and they look at her.
Correct.
Yes, we just give them something to listen to now.
That would help.
And if we could just find one Miss Double December, one year that can read traffic, boy, would our lives be so much better. How long have we been doing the Miss Double December pageant, Ralph? It's got to be 10 years
ten
now,
years,
doesn't it?
I think.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. Something like that. But we've been very, very lucky. We always get a lot of tremendous entries, and then we select just one. And we have just had some great Miss Double Ds over the years. And I think Danielle, our current Miss Double December 2010, has been one of my favorites. It's going to be really sad to see her go.
But it has
to happen. We've got to hand it off. On December the 3rd, we will crown a new Miss Double December. And you can go to kevinandbean.com right now if you are interested in applying. Now, what kinds of things are the ladies going to have to know and do, Ralph, in order to apply for the competition this year?
First of all, you have to be 21 or over. And then you send in some photos. And then what are some of the questions that
we have? Well, being asked the question, do you have what it takes to be Miss Double December? And if the answer is no, I have a doctor I can recommend you who can give you what it takes to become Miss Double December. Because that's really what it kind of comes down to.
But maybe not in time for this year.
Probably
in three
not.
Weeks, though.
No. What happens is the girls send in their photographs. We're looking for someone who is beautiful and curvaceous, but also has some imagination, has a personality. We have a series of questions we ask you on the entry form that you have to answer, and we're looking for creative, fun answers to those questions, like if there was a dessert named after you, what delicious ingredients would be in that dessert named after you? Kevin has an interesting response to that. He had one year.
I can't say it now.
But that's the kind of question we're asking you to find.
Right.
If you were going to be a porn star, what would be your made-up porn star name? We're looking for something fun and interesting because those names get kind of silly. So that's the kind of thing we're looking for. And then also we ask you if you have any particular talents because once we do narrow the field down to 10 and we do our live Miss Double December pageant from the slide bar down in Fullerton, California, we will be having a talent portion of the competition. It always breaks down into three competitions each year. There is the interview. No, there's no nude, Kevin.
Oh.
There's the interview portion where we ask you questions live on stage and get the audience reaction.
Then there's nude.
There's not the nude. We have the swimwear competition.
Swimwear, right.
And then
there's nude.
There's not nude. Mm. Then we have the talent portion. And each of those segments weighs equally into the voting. And then we open up the voting to the Kevin and Bean listeners and whoever they crown as Miss Double December continues to stay with us for the rest of the year and attend all the live events that we attend.
All the shows like this year's Acoustic Christmas you get to go to.
Right.
Both nights. Yeah. Weenie Rose, singles parties, concerts, anything that we're doing in 2011, you get to come with us and be, you know, our mascot, so
to
speak.
The face of the Kevin and Bean
yes.
show. And the body of the Kevin and Bean show.
So the first step is to apply. Go to KevinandBean.com and upload some photos, fill out the questionnaire, make sure you give us the information so that we can get back to you. And then
make
we select
the photos within the last 6 months at least.
That's good advice.
At least.
Good advice. Yeah. And then we select from however many we get. We narrow it down in-house to 10. And then we really do throw it open for the visitors to the website to vote on who they want to see be Miss Double December 2011. I mean, you will have the chance to cast your vote. And then those 10 finalists will show up for the rest of the vote, the vote tallying, which is going to be the swimsuit and the interview questions on December 3rd the Slide Bar, Fullerton, California. So it's a very busy time of year as the Acoustic Christmas concert is coming up, Miss Double December at the same time. But, man, it's a lot of fun. And like I said, Danielle has been a fantastic representative of the Kevin and Bean Show for the past year. I'm going to be sorry to see her go. But who knows who else is out there who may want to represent our program in 2011. It's going to be very exciting to meet the girls. And you have 1 week, if I understand correctly, the end of the show Monday. Is that right? Or is it the end of business Monday?
One or the other, yes.
Okay.
It is one or the other.
Let's say end of the show on Monday, just to make it clear for everybody. How about that?
Okay. End of the show on Monday. So that does give you 1 week to go to KevinandBean.com and enter. Now, if you have those nude photos that you can't use on the website. You can always send those to us personally for further evaluation.
That's what I'm saying.
We're happy to do that as extra credit. We're happy to put in the extra time to personally select a Miss Double December.
We don't enjoy this process. Don't get the wrong idea.
Work.
For us, this is work. You know, we got to go through the pictures of all the hot chicks.
The extra time that Bean puts in when he looks at those photos is very brief, by the way.
So go to KevinandBean.com, and if you know somebody who would want to enter, let them know that we're doing it for the next week.
But don't enter for someone. We prefer to have someone who's familiar with the show, who listens, so that they actually can participate in it. Sometimes we do get pin-up girls and models and stuff who are just trying to further their career like this would help. And they enter and they try to get on board. But we really prefer it with someone who's familiar with the show and likes to listen.
And nude.
Not nude.
Let me tell you why I'm sad. Because I've been walking around all weekend long thinking about this trailer and being sad that the movie is not coming out this Thanksgiving.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you. Massachusetts, the fourth Thursday in November is the most celebrated day of the year. The table is set. Festivities have begun. One uninvited guest has arrived. And this year, there will be no leftovers. Red meat, dark meat, all will be carved. Thanksgiving. Arrive hungry.
Happy Thanksgiving, Grandma.
New stuff. Eli Roth. Thanksgiving. You'll come home for the holidays in a body bag.
Now look, they were able to make Machete. Why can't they make Thanksgiving? Let's get this project going. I can't wait a whole nother year.
Well, I think that's how it works. I think you have to wait till they're done with it.
Oh, but is that going to be the best movie? I just can't wait for that. I just can't wait.
It is going to be good.
I'm very, very sad. All right. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. And, of course, check your local listings for TMZ television. We catch up with Harvey every Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Harv? How are you, man?
I'm good, guys. Guess what I heard last night?
What'd you hear last night?
I heard the whole Michael Jackson album.
All right. And?
The whole thing.
It's
really good.
Now, let me ask you this.
The whole thing.
Okay. We've heard two songs that you put up on TMZ.
Do you like Hold My Hand?
No. I mean, it's not to say it's not going to be a hit on that type of radio. It's hard for us to gauge that, but it doesn't sound like Michael Jackson at his best. That's our fear.
Real. Well, you know what? I heard there's this song called Monster with 50 Cent,
right?
And he's awesome, and by the way. I mean, he's really good.
But he's still alive.
No, but I really like it. I mean... I'm not as hardcore, maybe, but I just think it's really interesting, and some of the songs are different. I mean, the only problem I have with it is there's a lot of bitterness in it. I mean, I guess it's right after this molestation trial, so he's just really bitter about a lot of stuff,
right?
Like this recurring theme in it, which he's done before.
I can see how that would boil over into your project for sure.
Yeah,
and it did. But I got to say, it's good.
So
I love Hold My Hand. I think it's great.
So this is a real album. It comes out in December, and it's going to be how many songs?
10 songs.
10 songs. All right.
And I'm glad to hear
you say that, Harvey, in that at least it sounds like it's a finished album. It sounds like the producers were able to get together and make them sound like real, fully finished songs rather than just, hey, there's one line here and one line there, and we're trying to build something around it. It does sound like they had something to work with, right?
Well, what's really interesting that I found out was that some of these songs, Breaking News especially, which was the first one that kind of got leaked.
Right.
He did this in a home studio, and I forget the name of it. It's a certain kind of track, but it's called a guide track. That's what it is.
Right.
And
uh-huh.
what they were going to do was, when Michael went to London, he was going to use the guide track to then record in London in a professional studio. And
gotcha.
He may have laid over the guide track or just not even used the guide track. But the guide track is really good. And what they did was Sony kind of sweetened it and enhanced it a little bit. But it's him. And I don't know. I mean,
are they all like that? Are they all kind of...
No. Some of them, no, because only three of them were recorded in that studio.
Okay.
The other ones were in professional studios. And it's kind of a mix. I mean, I don't know. You'll have to judge for yourself, but I really, really like it.
I have a clip of the 50 Cent song, if you don't mind, if you have time.
Really?
Yeah. See, you say 50 Cent sounds good. I say he sounded better.
here's the thing. I mean, I'm marginally interested in this because it's Michael Jackson and he's dead, and let's see what they were able to do in the studio. I didn't care for the last 5 Michael Jackson albums when he was alive, though. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he peaked so long ago that every album was just blah.
Way about Elvis?
Well, he hasn't released anything new that's excited me lately.
He's got a new one coming
up. I mean, there was a resurgence of Elvis, even though Elvis had kind of gone the way of Vegas, 10 years before he died.
Yeah, right.
But there was
right.
a huge resurgence after he
hey,
died.
Hey, I don't doubt this is going to be, if it's a full 10 tracks of new Michael Jackson songs, I don't doubt that it'll be probably
it'll
pretty
sell.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll sell.
And,
well,
and there are 12 other tracks on a new album. I heard one of them, actually, but a new one that's going to be in after this one.
Okay, so they're going to release this one in December, and then they've got another all-new album?
Yep, another 12 songs.
Is he more prolific now than he was when he was alive?
Seems like.
You know what? There was just a lot of stuff that he never did, that he just never, that they never released. And look, the fact is that when he died, it created this whole new thing. The state made $300 million last year.
Wow. Yeah, and this is authorized Michael Jackson stuff that the kids will benefit from. They'll be the recipients of the royalties off of these records, right?
They're the direct recipients of all of it.
Right, gotcha.
All right, I don't mind spending money on it then.
All right.
As long as it's not Joe, as long as it's not his dad.
By the way,
at least not directly.
Who's
Joe's
the devil?
Probably trying to figure out a way, but...
Speaking of the kids, by the way, and we don't have much time here, Harvey, but I watched some of the interview that the sit-down interview that the kids did with Oprah, and at least it sounded like the little girl, Paris, is really interested in going into show business and being an actress / singer or something like that. What's your take on what their lives are going to be like as they go forward, as they get old enough to actually start being in projects?
I'm really shocked at them because they had such a bizarre upbringing, yet they seem so incredibly grounded.
They sure do, compared to what you would expect.
It's so not what you would expect. And I don't know. I mean, they're so likable. And I think that there's so much goodwill that she could probably do it. And, I mean, maybe what happens is when you live that kind of a crazy life, you either go completely nuts or you are wise past your years. And they seem to be the latter, but they just seem so normal and grounded and good.
The thing that really surprised me, the one quote that stuck out, and it was either Paris or Prince, but they were. Oprah was saying, "What did you think when your dad used to make you wear those ridiculous masks right. every time you went out?" And I would expect that they would go, "I hated it so much, and I hated my dad for doing it, and it wasn't fair, and I didn't like." They said, "Look, it wasn't comfortable, but I understood why he was doing it right. because he was trying to protect me, and I love him for that." I was so surprised that they were able to have that kind of a feeling of about
consciousness.
It.
I know
consciousness.
I
mean, good word. Yeah.
They really are impressive kids. And what I'm hearing is the two older ones, you know, they're at this private school now, and they've really acclimated, and they're just two of the other kids at the school, but they're doing really well. I'm really impressed by them, I got to say.
Who would have ever thought that Michael Jackson may have ended up being just a great dad?
and these kids say that he was the greatest dad. And, you know, part of it, with all the craziness and everything else, you know the way people are. I mean, you can never tell in private.
Right.
And
right.
he seemed to be a really good dad.
Go to TMZ.com or check your local listings for TMZ Television. They've got all the very latest on what's going on with Mel versus Oksana, what's going on with Spidey, Lindsay Lohan, in or out of rehab. It's all being covered. And Bill Clinton photos from the set of
How
The Hangover
about that?
2. How about
yeah.
that indeed? That's all at TMZ.com. Harvey, great to catch up with you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. See ya.
We checked through the record. And it turns out it has not been since 2006 that Greg Fitzsimmons has been a guest on the Kevin Abede Show. Did you do something to piss us off? I'm trying to think of why we wouldn't have had you on for 4 years, Greg. What's going on?
I was
on?
Thinking about the same thing driving over here. I was like, I remember coming on and having a blast. But, you know, the truth is I'm on the road so much that when I come home, I'm usually just so hyper-focused on making it up to my kids and my wife that I just don't – I don't do
– Does like that ever work? Are you ever able to make it up to your kids or your wife?
Yes,
you
I are. Actually am. No, my okay. wife – there's a huge deficit in my comedy career in that I like my wife.
Okay.
And I get along with my children.
My God.
What do you pull your act from then? Isn't that about 100% of
– Radio guys.
Oh, good.
Right. Greg, do you still have a satellite show? You're still doing on one of the Stern shows? Channels too. You're still doing your own show too, right?
Yeah, on Sirius XM. I got a show tonight. I've got Nick Swartzen coming on. I usually get comedians to come on once a week, and then I do a podcast twice a week called Fitzdog Radio.
Isn't the truth that we were talking to Michael Ian Black earlier just today about this? You have to have a podcast now. It's pretty much a requirement, or you're not really in show business anymore, right?
Well, for me, it became an extension of doing the Sirius show because it was 1 hour a week, and then I'd have these great guests come in, and they'd be like, "That's it." And so my producer said, well, why not do a second hour and then just put it on your website? So we started doing that. And then here's the great thing. You give it out for free, and then your listeners start going, hey, how come you're only doing one show a week for free? So I start doing it. Like, I was in Seattle this weekend, and I just, you know, I taped one. I interview the comedians on the show and talk about the local stuff. And then so I do two a week, and now it's like one of the most downloaded ones on iTunes.
Wow. Good for you. How long have you been in comedy, Greg?
21 years.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And do you think you got interested in comedy because you grew up in a household with a father who was in radio? Is that what got you started thinking
yeah.
about entertainment?
Yeah, I think so. My dad was one of the big radio guys in New York, and I collected comedy albums like a fiend when I was young, and then as a teenager I'd sneak into the clubs in New York. And you know, it was something I never had any other thoughts of what to do for a career. I was in college, I started doing stand-up, and I look up 21 years later, and I got a mortgage and a wife and two kids. The wife doesn't work, and so I'm, like, forced to go on the road nonstop if I'm not writing on a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I go, wait, this started as a joke. When did this become so serious?
Yeah.
Who are the comedy guys that you looked at and said, I'll never be that good, and you're still in awe of them today? Guys, you know, I don't know whether it's for some people it's like a Steve Martin or an Albert Brooks or whoever, somebody you just can't believe how great they are.
Well, I had a book party in New York on Tuesday night, and I asked Dave Attell to come out and perform, and it's humiliating to watch Dave Attell. You just feel like, why am I not sitting at my laptop for 12 hours a day, drinking more coffee, being angrier? I mean, he's so explosively original and funny. Since I started seeing him 15 years ago, and he's still that good.
It makes you mad when you see other comedians that are good. You go, oh!
It's like when I see a really hot chick, and yeah. I'm like, I'm going to go home and yell at my wife. You know?
No wonder she loves you.
you. You're going to kick the wife and make out with the dog when you get home.
Well, what if I see a really cute dog? Then it'll set things straight.
Yeah, that's right. So I didn't reading is for losers, so I've not read your book, but I did flip through Dear Mrs. Fitzsimmons, Tales of Redemption from an Irish Mailbox. And I thought, hey, Greg Fitzsimmons, a funny guy. I've seen him on the TV a lot. I'm going to sit down for some yucks here and see what's going on. So I flip it open, and the first page I look at is, then Dad had a heart attack and dropped dead at 53. And I thought, wow, this is hilarious.
Well, I'm Irish, so I have to combine the comedy with seriously alcoholic, tragic, undertones. And so the book is essentially, as you read, a collection of letters my mother saved when I was in trouble my whole
life.
This
is so great.
It's insane,
right?
It
really is great. How many letters do you feature in the book?
There's like 102 documents.
Everyone hates him.
Yes.
teachers?
You burned a lot of bridges.
It's unbelievable.
Police. Yeah, people that booked me on comedy shows. I went on to save the letters as an adult, but my mother gave me a box of letters a few years ago that she'd saved. I had no idea. And they were like, here, can I read one? Yes. I brought a few with me.
Of course, okay. Absolutely.
Here's
love
a selection.
It.
This is my favorite one because it's from nursery school.
Okay.
I'm 5 years old. This is more about my parents' parenting than my behavior.
I'm guessing it all is. By the way.
Yes.
Let's blame it all on them.
I'm Irish, so again.
All right.
Greg sings along with the group, although he's not familiar with the ABC song. He's not familiar with a lot of things. He didn't know what a Ferris wheel was, how to wiggle, what a heel or an elbow was, what a train engine or a caboose is.
What?
Yeah.
What's wrong with your parents?
You didn't know how to wiggle?
No, wiggling apparently they were saving for when I got a little older. Huh. I think post-puberty is when I started to really wiggle.
Sure. What did you know at the time instead of that stuff?
I knew how to fist fight with my brother, who was 13 months older. I mean, it was they call that Irish twins. And but the thing is, I bring the letters home when I got older, and my parents would open them at the dinner table, and they would laugh. They thought it was funny.
That's great.
So it was essentially...
So you wouldn't get in trouble.
Not only not get in trouble, the implicit order was go back to school and get more funny mail
no
sent
less.
Home. So
I love that.
So this one is from... this is when I was a stand-up comedian. I did a prom show in Emmitsburg, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So you smell where this is headed, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
You know, we need to take a break, though. We need to take a break.
Before, no, I'm reading this letter.
Need to take a break.
The book is called Dear Mrs. Fitzsimmons, Tales of Redemption from an Irish Mailbox. The book is out now, by the way, and you can meet Greg tonight at 7:30 at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove in Los Angeles. If you want to get a personally autographed copy, that'd be a good place to do that tonight. And Greg will continue to read and tell funny stories when we return right
what
after this on the Kevin Bean Show.
What have done wrong at a prom? We'll find out.
I was wiggling.
When we get back.
Greg Fitzsimmons is in the studio with us. The book is in stores now, by the way, and it is alternately funny and heartbreaking called Dear Mrs. Simmons, Tales of Redemption from an Irish Mailbox. You can meet Greg tonight at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove in Los Angeles. I'm impressed that you don't require that we introduce you as Emmy Award-winning Greg Fitzsimmons, because a lot of people would insist on that at this point in their career.
I just appreciate you not laughing at me or minimizing me because I tell jokes to people.
Not at all.
It's the bottom of the food chain, isn't it?
No.
I wrote a book to get some credibility.
Still above radio, Greg.
Yeah.
All right, when we left, you were telling us about playing a prom in Iowa.
Yeah.
And by the way, for folks who weren't with us in the last segment, this book is chock full of rejection letters and complaint letters about Greg's behavior. So get ready for whatever happened in Iowa.
I love so much that your mom saved all these.
Yeah, she saved them in the envelopes, like little trophy cases. Because Irish people, we're supposed to rebel. We lived under occupation, and then we came to this country and were told we weren't hireable.
So when you got in trouble at school, your parents would give you high fives.
They love or beat me. They were either low fives or high fives.
How could you tell?
If they laughed, I was okay.
Okay,
right. If it failed to provoke laughter, you heard the belt. And then you just walk down there and get a belt.
Oh, that's rough.
See, the tragedy in the comedy.
That's rough.
There you go.
All right, so I'm in Iowa, and the entire senior class gets off a school bus because they'd gone to church just prior to going to the prom.
Okay.
So now I'm angry at them. And then
because they went to the church?
Yes. That's not, you go to the church the day after the prom to confess.
Right.
So then the principal pulls me aside and he goes, now don't be a wiseacre up there tonight.
A wiseacre?
Yeah. It's like if I was a juggler. Don't be throwing stuff around up there tonight. So I go on stage and I did what I considered to be a great show. Standing ovation. Kids loved it. A week later, I get this letter sent to my agent and it went something like this. Dear Ario, we held our high school prom this evening, and our entertainment was comedian Greg Fitzsimmons. Let me be very frank. Mr. Fitzsimmons' performance was the most humiliating, embarrassing, and degrading performance I've ever witnessed as part of a high school activity. What makes it most unforgivable is that before his performance, he was told about taboo subjects, language, etc., by Dr. Dave Nixon and myself. Throughout his performance, he frequently referred to the do's and don'ts of our discussion. He apparently thought it humorous to do exactly the opposite of what was instructed.
Do these people not know human nature at all?
Human nature, that's the definition of a comedian. Yes. You do the right. opposite of what's expected.
It's your natural tendency. If someone tells you to do A, you do B.
His jokes about having sex with his grandmother, which, by the way, I did not do. I did a joke where I call my grandmother and she's naked because she just got out of the shower. That was it. He then launched into his own fantasy.
Wow.
Which I didn't really appreciate.
About you doing jokes about having sex with your grandmother.
I think about him having sex with my grandmother.
Mm. Your grandmother.
I mean, who knows where his mind was.
Sure.
He invited the class to his motel room for a keg. All right, I did that. I did do that.
Very generous.
He talked candidly about the glories of cocaine, and candidly, that means honest, doesn't it? So he agrees that cocaine is glorious. We're just not supposed to tell the kids.
You're not supposed to say it that way.
Yeah, if they find out.
Right, right, right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Then they're going to start doing it and probably get out of Iowa, move on with their lives. If this is the only way he can be humorous, he and your whole company is sick and should be embarrassed to market such filth.
All right.
We try very hard to raise our children properly and give them values. If you are questioning whether I am a Bible beater, no, I am not. No, I think he's beating something else about my grandmother. I just feel that what we try so hard to instill in our young people can be dashed in 1 hour or less by some comedian that can leave town after doing his damage.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
man.
That's a pretty solid moral foundation. If I can tell jokes for an hour and just
and they all now are adrift at sea wondering if there's a God.
All 10 commandments crushed because of Fitzsimmons.
What the hell? Why did they hire you? Do you know?
I think that I was in the neighborhood. I was doing a bunch of colleges, and they called my agent to see. And, you know, usually college acts are squeaky clean, you know. They just do. Like, here's
they are?
This last line will sum it up for
okay.
you. We used Ario Professional Artist last year, and we're very satisfied with the hypnotist that performed.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's much more in line with their teaching methods, you know.
Yes, so.
Brainwashing and...
You know, that's a very funny letter, Greg. I got the impression in your book, though, and again, I didn't read it, but I did get the impression from touching the pages that you were a bit of a punk ass growing up, though, and that you brought some trouble on yourself. Maybe you got some letters that you didn't deserve, but there were times, I think, where you did. I mean, you seem to have some road rage issues. You seem to be a guy who would like to punch other guy in the head issues. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I was arrested a bunch of times for fighting, drinking and fighting, and then...
But you are Irish, after all.
I still get into fights. And
really? As an adult with kids, you still get into fights?
When was the last fight?
Well, there was two guys in the parking lot behind our house, and they said some lewd stuff to my wife. Uh-huh. This was a couple months ago, so I went out back, and I tried to pull one of them out of the car, and he they pulled out. And then
they ran from you. That's what they did.
Yeah, and then there was a camping trip, not this past summer, but the one before, where my son took a hiking stick from another girl.
Right.
And
she beat him up.
No, she cried to her dad.
Oh,
like a little
no.
girl.
Like a
oh,
little
wait,
girl.
No, she was a little girl. And so the father pulled my son aside and berated him and threatened him. And I heard, and my son was hysterically crying. And my son's actually a pretty tough kid, but this guy was big and scary. So I walked up to him and I shoved him and I went nose to nose, which thank God I was uphill from him. Because I wouldn't have, it would have been nose to his crotch.
Sure.
And
that's not where you want to be.
And I told him that he had 10 minutes to apologize to my son and pack up his stuff and leave. And
or
but here, that's the thing. That's what's so stupid. I'm 5'8", 150 pounds, and I'm. You know how little guys, when they threaten you, it's almost scarier because
they're
think,
insane.
Because they must have something going on.
Yeah, and I go white when I get angry. I go white, and I can't. I don't have reason. I can't calculate properly that I would get killed, but I don't believe I ever will, and I never have. I got assault with a deadly weapon freshman year of college. Because thank you.
Nice.
Because two guys had sexually assaulted a woman, and I went out looking for them, and they had one had a sweatshirt on that was distinguishable.
Right.
And there were two football players, so they knocked me down and they ran away. So I chased them into a dorm, and before they could get buzzed in by security, I had already broken a very fine fruit punch bottle, and I held them at bay while they called the police.
All right.
And I got charged with assault with a deadly weapon by the two guys.
You're like Batman.
More like midget
you're like
man.
You're like out there cleaning up the world.
Yeah, that's the Irish thing, is we feel like we have to right the wrongs. It's like I've been going to anger management classes about it, and the therapist says you have to change the script in your head. You have to say, I don't have to change this person. I have a choice to say, if I try to change this person, there's a likelihood that they will remain in my life through litigation, or they could knock my teeth out, or
right.
whatever. As opposed to, I can choose to wave at them and be happy that they're out of my life and pull away. And that's the way I try to think now.
But then your mom says, no, that's not the right way to think. Your dad, your upbringing.
Well, my dad's dead, so thanks for bringing that up. You want a piece of me?
Kevin does that.
I don't want a piece of you, no.
Well, I
was afraid of his mom, so I went right to his dad just to make sure they were both covered. Damn it. Now he's going to beat me up.
I just love that you're a grown man who continues to get into fights.
Me too.
Because we don't meet very many of those, but that is what makes you fascinating, Greg. Dear Mrs. Fitzsimmons, Tales of Redemption from an Irish Mailbox, a very enjoyable book, available online and in stores everywhere. Have you done other in stores? What kind of turnout are you getting for your signings?
Yeah,
pretty good?
I was in Seattle this past weekend, and it was actually great. I did stand-up shows, and then they had like a whole bookstore set up after the shows, and I just cajoled half the crowd into buying the book.
I like it.
And then I was in New York at Borders in Columbus Circle, and that was a light turnout. Because in New York City, it's and L.A., it's actually really hard to get people to turn out, as opposed to, like, you go to a small town, it's like you're a mega celebrity.
Yeah.
And so, God, if you're hearing this, come out tonight. Because New York was kind of like, I had like 40 or 50 people come out. But so then I started doing crowd work. Like, I was yelling at a guy who was in the young adult section that he was too old.
Right.
Like, inappropriate things for a book signing. You're supposed to have a pipe and a sweater and speak quietly like you're on NPR.
Right.
And I'm doing racial jokes.
All right. Here's the way to get people out. You have to promise that you're going to hit someone.
I'll hit someone. I'm taking all challenges. If you want to come up on stage, I'll wrestle with you.
I like it.
That'll be tonight at 7:30 at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove. And you should follow Greg on the Twitter, too, by the way, Greg Fitz Show. And that'll keep you posted with everything else that's going on with the radio show and the podcast and all that good stuff. Greg, see you again in another 4 years, man. Thanks for coming
by. Look, I want to come back soon. I really like you guys. And I listen to the show. And thanks for having me back.
No worries.
Sorry, we're not able to do that. But thanks again. Ralph, is Kevin yelling at us today?
Yes.
Have we done something wrong? Are we being scolded?
I don't
happening?
Know why.
Me?
Why are we yelling?
I feel like we're being yelled at.
I love
what
Lamp.
We did.
How dare you.
Okay. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about?
Because it's Monday, we take a look at the weekend's hot movies via Daily Variety newspaper, and they tell us Megamind is the big winner this weekend. Once again, came in at number one with $30 million in box office dollars. Unstoppable was number two, $23.5 million. Due date was third. Skyline, the new alien invasion flick, came in at $11.7 million. Good enough to make it number four. Morning Glory was fifth. For Colored Girls was sixth, then Red, Paranormal Activity 2, Saw 3D, and Jackass 3D, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Want to give a shout-out to our buddy Will Ferrell. He is trying to raise money for his Cancer for College charity through 7-Eleven.
What?
Apparently, he has designed a coffee cup that they're selling at 7-Eleven. And if you buy coffee with that cup, money gets raised for his charity, Cancer for College.
Will Ferrell is involved in the strangest events.
Really?
Well, he's always been. This is his long-term charity event, this Cancer for College thing.
But he designed a coffee cup.
And by design, I mean he drew a snowman that they put on the cup, basically.
All right.
Looks like something your 5-year-old did with his left hand, pretty much what it looks like. And I think that's part of the joke. But if you buy coffee using that cup, more money gets donated to Cancer for College. 7-Eleven's already guaranteed $250,000
wow.
to the cause. So
I guess we're going
to
buy it there anyway. You might as well go with the stick figure.
I don't know what 7-Eleven it is, but apparently Will is going to be at one today, and he's going to cover it with snow. That's the premise, but they won't tell me which one it is. So I guess
that's
you just go
not
around
snow.
Just go around every 7-Eleven in Los Angeles until you find him, and then tell him I said hi.
Good luck. How does Cancer for College work, though? If you survive cancer, you get to go to college. Is that the
it raises money that gives scholarship money to cancer survivors to go to college for their education?
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
Will says I hate cancer, but love college. He said, not only will this cause let me flex my artistic abilities, yes, I drew that snowman all by myself, but also gives him a chance to support his favorite charity. I'm just glad he's not raising money for that Swedish house or whatever, the thing we had last time to talk to
that
him
was
about,
weird.
Right? When he was playing tennis.
Tennis
and
Mott right. Pro or something?
Yeah.
Mats Wilander or whatever. He was playing tennis for
everything
Swedish
about Will
college.
Ferrell. It's just low rent and funny.
I said, what are you doing next? Raise money for a stingray hatchery? What are these bizarre causes you get behind? Very odd little man.
He's the best. It's time to go to 7-Eleven, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, uh-huh. it is. Get a Will Ferrell coffee cup. Today on Oprah Winfrey.
Nope.
Come on, Kevin. It's her final no. year. It's her final season.
Yeah, I don't care. Hey, look, she is having unbelievable guests
no!
this season so far.
No!
I mean, really, a lot of incredible stuff.
She's
no
having,
way. Not ever.
Yeah. She's doing a lot of reunion shows.
All right.
To boost her ratings. Like last week, I think it was, she did the Sound of Music reunion show with all the kids and Julie Andrews and Christopher Plummer.
Terrible idea. That was a horrible
People
idea.
People love that film.
No way.
Beloved.
Not ever.
Today, she's got the cast of The Color Purple. Well, good. That way she can make it about her.
Wow. How did she get them?
Yeah. It's a reunion of everybody from the 1985 movie in which she was nominated for an Oscar.
As no!
As was Whoopi Goldberg and Margaret Avery. It's got the whole gang together. Radon Chong and Margaret Avery and Danny Glover and Quincy Jones. And
No.
Director Steven Spielberg. Oh, no, he wasn't invited.
What?
He really wasn't? He may have been invited, but he's not going to be on the show.
No! You know what the big story is that comes out of that interview that's going to air today.
The big feud.
The big feud. Yeah, tell me about the feud, because this feud. Is hilarious to me.
There's a feud.
What feud?
Whoopi Goldberg and Oprah Winfrey haven't talked in 25 years.
I'm on Oprah's side
feud.
On that one.
Feud. Feud. Apparently, today they bury the hatchet. They put the feud to rest.
Thank God.
Apparently, Oprah says, I thought you were angry at me. And Whoopi goes, I thought you were angry at me.
Oh, silly.
Is that a joke?
No, that's how they resolve it.
Wow.
It was just a big misunderstanding, Kevin. There's just a lot of love between those two ladies.
That's good news.
That's not a good enough resolution for me. No. I would like handguns at 12 paces.
I agree.
Look, it's a win-win. No matter who goes down, we all win. You know what I'm saying?
Arm wrestle? At least, at the very least. Rock, paper, scissors. Come on.
We can check that out.
Scissors.
Spencer and Heidi back in the news.
Nope.
According to TMZ.com, they are currently working out a deal with Vivid President Steve Hirsch, which will let them get behind the lens and start producing and directing porn movies.
No. This is a world of nope, nuh-uh, and sorry, Charlie.
Yeah, true. They're going to get together and direct porn films based on their own sexual fantasies.
No.
I'm guessing it'll be a Spencer and a mirror. And Heidi and a plastic surgeon. Those will be their biggest fantasies. You'll
no!
see show up in the movies.
Say no.
Look, they got to make a buck, right? I guess they don't. No one's in agreement. And speaking of reality television, this is going to be good. NBC has announced their brand new reality show, Love in the Wild.
Yay!
Love
Wait,
in
what's
the
that?
Wild.
Yes. Thank you, Ed McMahon.
trying to...
It is Love.
Love
in the Wild.
In the Wild.
Yes. It is a premise that puts together The Bachelor and Survivor.
Yes.
Where 20 men and women will be dropped in the middle of a jungle, given challenges to test them emotionally and physically, and then they have to hook up.
They have to?
Wait. What, they have to hook up? They have to live and they have to find a partner?
Yes.
On the same show?
Yes. They have to survive and find a romantic oasis in the middle of the jungle.
What? What? I don't even get this
doesn't
at
even
all.
Make sense.
Look, you have to look for love in the jungle while you're trying to get food and also win challenges. Come on, what more could be simpler?
No way. Not ever.
People don't get it.
Yes! This show delivers.
It'll be planned for next summer, so you can check out Love in the Wild.
Okay.
Love
in the Wild.
Yes, yes, sir.
This is Mark Burnett again, by the way.
No, this, gone is off the Tom, deep end. This is Tom Shelley, who worked on Survivor, but then also brought us Dating in the Dark. If you remember that ratings juggernaut.
Oh, yeah,
where
sure.
People would have to go into a dark room and sure. Feel each other and decide whether right. They wanted to go out again or not. So Tom Shelley, once again, from the daring mind of Tom Shelley, we have Love. In the
Love in...
The Wild.
The Wild. What about the show where you date people as they go around in front of you on fire?
The baggage claim. Remember
they're on the baggage claim of love or whatever that
is. Yeah, whatever that was called. And you have to interview them as this is on a moving sidewalk.
Baggage claim of love.
What about that show?
I don't think that was it.
It's awesome. This is some bad TV.
Yeah. They're buying anything. We should just make up a reality show because apparently Seriously. Anything goes now after Baggage Claim of Love.
That's true. And Sarah Palin's Alaska.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Macho Man Randy Savage. He's 58 years old today. Johnny Lee Miller currently can be seen in this season of Dexter. He's 38. Beverly D'Angelo is 59 years old. Ed Asner's 81. And the original judge from People's Court, Judge Joe Wapner.
Yeah, Wap Dog.
The Wap Dog.
Wap Dog.
Now you're going to have Italians calling in, being all upset with us. He's 91 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Eddie Ift in the studio.
Oh, funny.
We have Glee Cap with Omar.
Oh, funny.
Angry.
He loves that show. I believe we're talking to the situation for reals.
What?
Yeah, because he's written a book.
Of course he has.
You tell me.
It's happening to the world.
And earlier this morning, we announced the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Woo!
Saturday, December 11th, Gibson Amphitheater, The Smashing Pumpkins, Social D, My Chem, and then I was halfway, maybe I should say My Chemical Romance.
Right, so how'd that work out?
I screwed it up. go back. My Chemical Romance, Bad Religion, Jimmy Eat World, Cake, A Day to Remember, The Dirty Heads, Anne Berlin, and Switchfoot. And you can find all the details at the website tomorrow morning at 7:15. Details on night number 2 on the Kevin and Bean.